Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on the free Wake Up Call DT app. DT on the road right now, doing a lot of different things here, but always bringing you the Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora show weekly. So no matter what goes on, folks, unless I literally do not have my voice to do it, and even then I'd probably do the Morse code show with you. So happy to be here on WakeUpCallDT.com as well as the free Wake Up Call DT app. A lot to talk about today. We have the Heads Underwater segment, proudly brought to you by Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. The greatest seat on Oneida Lake in Central New York. Beautiful view all throughout the seasons. Snow falling. You have the snowmobilers on the ice-covered lake. And then, as well, you get the opportunity, obviously, in the summer to have a lot of events out on the patio. There's weddings going on, bridal showers, parties, all banquets for sports teams. So make sure that you get your opportunity to do what you want to do over at Borio's Restaurant. When it comes to your event, you want to plan it out and you want to call them as soon as possible. 315-699-2249. That's 315-699-2249 to reserve one of those banquet rooms for your special event immediately. You don't want to waste any time on Borio's. They line up quickly, so you definitely want to get out there to Borio's Restaurant if you're planning your bridal shower, your baby shower, a reunion, a sporting event, whatever it may be, to all the local high schools in the area as well as local colleges that do banquets. You want to make sure you call Borio's, 315-699-2249, and let them know that Dan Tortora sent you. So we'll be tackling Heads Underwater. And I say tackling because we are going to the football world, but not so much talking about the foot as talking about the ball. A lot of talk about balls going on, and yes, I am specifically saying that. It's kind of a joke, but not a joke. Some interesting things going on in the NFL since the Patriots defeated the Colts. We'll talk about that. And, of course, we'll talk about those games that went on. Seattle over the Green Bay Packers to get into the Super Bowl in the NFC, as well as the Patriots defeating the Colts on the AFC Championship side to make it to the Super Bowl. Seattle going back to their second Super Bowl in a row, first time they've ever done that in their history. And the the New England Patriots going back for Tom Brady's sixth time. Six times in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady's lost the last two, though, both of those being to the New York Giants. So we'll get into the games and so much more right here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. So let's not waste any time here. Heads Underwater is where we will go. So let's not waste any time here. Let's look at those games. Seattle and the Green Bay Packers. Seattle started off miserably. Russell Wilson was 2-for-9 passing. 2-for-9. Brady can throw 9 attempts in one drive. Russell Wilson had 9 attempts in the first half. That's 9 passing attempts in 30 minutes. And he only completed 2 of them. It was ugly. Punt, turnover. I mean, just losing downs. This team literally could not figure it out in the beginning of the game. They give the ball up. Then you have, and not a turnover on downs, it was the second half ended on one of their drives. It was just a terrible, terrible first half for the Seattle Seahawks. They looked like they had no idea what was going on. The only thing that helped the Seahawks was the Packers. It wasn't even the Seahawks. The best player on the Seahawks team in the first half were the Green Bay Packers, because they only scored 16 points. They didn't do much of anything themselves. So they left the game wide open for Seattle to come back, and come back with a vengeance they did in this game. Seattle just fighting their way through. It was a very interesting game as far as Seattle's first half to not even second half, but late second half performance in the game against the Packers. Russell Wilson just came on late. He was able to run in a touchdown. He obviously was able to get some help from Marshawn Lynch. Did a lot of great things in the game. And no matter what happened, Russell Wilson kept his poise. He kept his team together. Everybody stayed strong. Seattle's defense came through and did what they needed to do when they needed to do it. But Mason Crosby at the end of the game, obviously he ties the game. He's someone that you get on your fantasy football league. I had him on my team. Mason Crosby is one of those clutch kickers in the NFL, one of those point makers. They definitely can give you some separation when you're playing in the real game and when you're playing in the fantasy football game. Make sure to join the Wake Up Call Fantasy Football Leagues. We're now 50 owners strong, and you can join the leagues by letting me know on facebook.com/wakeupcalldt. Just send me a message, or on Twitter @calldt. That's CALLDT. So make sure that you get your information out to me as soon as possible. You don't want to wait until next season. Our spots fill up throughout the year, and you do not want to miss out on your opportunity to get into one of our current leagues or one of the new leagues that will be forming for the Wake Up Call Fantasy Football Challenge. So, Russell Wilson, he's got Jermaine Kearse out there, and Kearse, he's one of those guys that you really just can't trust all the time. Doug Baldwin's the same thing. When you look at the numbers, you look at Seattle's record, you look at what Russell Wilson can do, it really is Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch on offense, because when you look at Jermaine Kearse, his numbers, Doug Baldwin, his numbers, they're just not there. They don't do much of anything. 40 yards in one game, maybe 100 yards, but no touchdowns. These are receivers that really aren't those prolific guys. They're not the guys that you really expect to change the game. And then all of a sudden, Jermaine Kearse, who Russell Wilson threw to multiple times, 4 interceptions he threw the Green Bay Packers way. 3 of those interceptions were when Jermaine Kearse was the intended receiver. Ha ha, Clinton Dix of the Green Bay Packers got the first 2 interceptions. The latter one did not come from him up against Jermaine Kearse, but think about that. When Russell Wilson is looking for Kearse, 3 of his 4 interceptions happen. But at the end of the game, in overtime, throwing that ball deep downfield in single coverage, who catches it? None other than Jermaine Kearse, who gets into the end zone for the touchdown that, in fact, ends the game on the first drive of overtime for the Seattle Seahawks. Crazy, crazy. And let me just say this about Jermaine Kearse. He just, like, busted out of a salad. He just jumped right out of a salad. And what do I mean by that? Salads have a lot of different things in it, okay? There's a lot of different ingredients. Well, think about it this way. And for the people that like onions, I apologize, but I'm going to think about it from my perspective. The Seattle Seahawks were like a salad with lettuce and a bunch of onions. Disgusting, gross, throughout the entire game. I don't want cold onions and lettuce and that's it. I want carrots. I want croutons. I want some olives, maybe some raisins. If I'm feeling crazy, maybe I want to put some of those crunchy onion things on top. Not the regular onions, but maybe I want to spice it up a little bit and put those, I don't even know how to describe, call them the little fries, the miniature fries. I don't know what they are. I'm on the road, folks. My mind is all over the place, but I'm talking with you here because I care. So basically, this is what I'm saying. Jermaine Kearse, he jumped out of a nasty salad. He jumped out of a salad that had onions and anchovies, you know, the things that 1% of the population likes, maybe 0.1% of the population. Not a salad that you want to eat. Well, Jermaine Kearse was that crouton. He gave it flavor. He gave the game something. He made that salad count. And so there you go, because one of my listeners and fantasy football owners and fans of the show had the quote, had this statement that he made, jumped out of a salad, and he wanted to see if I could use it in a statement on my show. So I hope you're happy, Pat, because there you go. Jermaine Kearse jumped out of the salad. He made it happen. He was the crouton, not those ghetto croutons that you don't like, that you can't appreciate, that you wonder, are these stale? I can't really tell. I'm talking Texas toast croutons, the garlic ones, whatever your fancy may be. So, Jermaine Kearse jumps out of the salad. He makes it happen for the Seattle Seahawks in a very ugly game for Seattle. Russell Wilson, his numbers were just abysmal all the way through. And then he was 3 for 3 in overtime in passes for 80 yards. He had 209 yards in the game, but 80 of those yards came on one drive. 3 for 3. Just phenomenal play. The team scored 15 points in 44 seconds in the fourth quarter. 15 points, 2 touchdowns, 1 extra point, 1 2-point conversion in the fourth quarter. After not getting anything done throughout the entire game, 15 points in that small amount of time. Huge respect to the Seattle Seahawks for what they did. They deserve to win in this game because they came back when it counted most. I can't stand watching games, and I don't care what sport it is, of teams that give up. You just see them down, and they're down by a touchdown. Now it's a touchdown and a field goal. Could be the second quarter of the game, but they got their heads down. It's the Tony Romo face. I've said this before, and it is rung true throughout Tony Romo's career for as far as I am concerned. When I watch him on the sideline, when Tony Romo has that expressionless, blank look, like, I can't do anything right, I just want to go home. The hat's backwards, just, oh my God, seriously. Oh, there's another touchdown. When he looks like that, 9 times out of 10, they lose the game. When Tony Romo is on the sidelines and he's still smiling or he's talking to his teammates, there's a chance. But you don't want to have the Tony Romo face, that face where he just knows in his mind, he tells himself, there's no way we can come back. Well, Seattle never had that face. They never did it for a second. Much respect and support for everything that they did, because they did what many teams don't do. They believed in themselves at the end of the game. When it counted most, they came through. Then we move on to the Patriots game, where the Patriots embarrassed the Colts. Yes, it was rainy and it was nasty. The conditions were not the greatest. But here's the thing. When it's raining and it's nasty out, you're not really throwing the ball. You're not really just airing it out. You're running it. Now, LeGarrette Blount had 148 yards rushing, which is his best that he's had in a playoff game. And he's upped his touchdowns. He passed Tom Brady and he passed Curtis Martin for most postseason touchdowns by anyone on the Patriots that's running them in. So, you know, you give respect to LeGarrette Blount for what he did. But at the same time, Tom Brady was still throwing the ball. Every single time the Patriots got possession, Brady just aired it out and he completed it to somebody. Brandon LaFell started looking good. Obviously, Gronk is Gronk. So this Patriots team started to show some firepower. Probably the best game that they potentially had all season. 45-7 in a big game against a good team. Andrew Luck's team is not that bad. So you really can't say much of anything negative about the Patriots. Brady's out there setting records, Blount setting records, and they're getting the job done. Then, after the game, this is where we go to Heads Underwater, proudly brought to you by Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. And we are going to go to that in just a few moments here. You'll hear from our partners, including Borio's Restaurant for Dan Totora Broadcast Media. And when I come back around, we'll talk about Heads Underwater and what's going on with the Patriots. And I'm not going to call it Deflategate because I don't like it. I don't like the whole gate things. So I'm going to call it what I want to call it, and that'll be coming up next here on Wake Up Call with Dan Totora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelanche, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Supporting a United States veteran is something that shouldn't even be a question on your mind. The freedom for me to stand here today as a broadcaster, to have started my own company, comes from sacrifices made by United States veterans. Give back to them by buying the book 15 Feet for Free. It was created by Jim Lee, Syracuse Orange alum, to help basketball players around the country to learn and to grow in the sport, but at the same time, he created the book with a bigger message. By going to AuthorHouse.com and buying 15 Feet for Free, half of every single book that's bought goes back to the United States veterans. He wanted to do something special for his father, who was a veteran, and for veterans everywhere. So go to AuthorHouse.com now and buy 15 Feet for Free. It doesn't take much to give back to a United States veteran. AuthorHouse.com, 15 Feet for Free. Give back to them today. Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You go out to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place, but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. Camspizzeria.com. That's C-A-M-S pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria. Truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At dreisigapparel.com, that's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreisig Apparel. D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at dreisigapparel.com. That's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's F-A-N-H-A-N-D-S.com. I can take that and enhance that for you, make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, and all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. Find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Fanhands.com. That's fanhands.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
Back here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app that you can download for all Apple products by going to WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. That's WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. And you can also get it for all of your other phones. You use the Google Play Store. If you don't have an iPhone or an iPad or iPod, and you have any other type of smartphone, Droids, whatever you have, whenever you can get to the Google Play Store, you can get for free the Wake Up Call DT app there as well. just search Wake Up Call DT. It's one word. Wake Up Call DT. D as in Dan, T as in Thomas. I want to thank everybody that downloaded the free app with over 430 shows available at any given time for you. You'll never lose the signal, and all it takes is three clicks. Click on the app, click on the show you want, and hit play. It's as simple as that. So thank you to everyone that's downloaded it, and thank you to everyone listening on wakeupcalldt.com. Our numbers continue to increase, and that is much thanks to everything that you have done as a fan of the show and a listener to show support. I truly, honestly cannot thank you enough. Those of you that I've had the pleasure of meeting, I tip my hat to you. And those of you that I haven't met, might meet in the future, or may never see, thank you so much for your support. I cannot thank you enough for helping me to live my dream. So thank you for that, and I'll help you to live yours too by praying that your dreams work out as great and as wonderful as mine have by the grace of God. As I promised, Heads Underwater, it's a segment you'll only find here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com and the free Wake Up Call DT app. And this segment talks about a team or a player or coach, staff member, whatever it may be, athletic director, whose head is underwater, but they seem to be breathing fine. And in the case of this Heads Underwater segment, proudly brought to you by Borio's Restaurant on 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York, with brunch meals all throughout the week. The only day they're closed is Monday, so remember, you make note of that. They're open Tuesday through Sunday. Brunch on Sundays, all throughout the morning and the earlier part of the afternoon. So much to offer. A phenomenal view. Great bar scene. Great place to go and watch the game and have a drink. Drink responsibly. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York, right next to Lakeshore Country Club. So you can go out, golf, and spend some time at Borio's. And when you're in the wintery conditions, you can head out to Borio's, warm up, and relax and enjoy yourself there in the bar or in the restaurant. Once again, please drink responsibly. Heads Underwater for this segment, this installment, we're focusing on the Patriots. And they call it Deflategate. I told you I'm not doing it. No Spygate, Deflategate, Gategate. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. It's not happening. So, basically, the notion is that the Patriots cheated. 11 of 12 of their balls. There's 24 balls that were used in the game. 11 of 12 on the Patriots side were found to be deflated. They weren't at the lowest number that they have to be for the NFL. So that became a huge issue. And Tom Brady has had a press conference about it. Bill Belichick has had two press conferences about it. But he kind of changed his tune a little bit. And I've waited a little bit of time to let this show come out because I kind of wanted to see where this whole thing went. I stayed away from Deflategate for a while. I wasn't going to talk about it. And then I decided I had no choice and I had to talk about it. So looking at it, after I see Bill Belichick speak about it, and then after he does for Tom Brady, the quarterback of the Patriots, to talk about it, and then Bill Belichick to go into it again, I have had the opportunity to hear what they had to say, to listen in their voice, how they're saying it, the questions they've been asked by others, how they responded to that. And now, you know, I'm someone that likes to have my information in front of me. I'm someone that likes to research, know what the heck I'm talking about. I like to sound educated, so I know that might be crazy for some people, but I like to have the education behind it. I like to research, I like to know, I like to form my opinion with justification behind it. I don't like to just jump the gun and make a comment. You know, if I believe something is a catch, and I believe it's a catch, you know, in the Detroit-Dallas game where there was the pass interference call that was picked up and ruled not pass interference, I went back and I watched the film. You know, originally I thought maybe it is, maybe it's not. When I watched the film again, I said, no, it definitely is pass interference. I had Mike Kitts has been on the show. Mike Kitts will be on the show soon. But I had on the show the ACC coordinator of officials, Doug Rhodes, and him and I were talking about it. I wanted to have his expertise after he watched the video, and he knows all the pass interference rules, so I brought somebody on that knows that very well. I looked back at the video, so I like to know what I'm getting into, what I'm talking about. So I left the whole deflation thing with the Patriots. I left that at bay for a little while. Then, you know, more comes out, and I said, you know what? I got to talk about it, but I have to do it my way. You know, anybody that's listened to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora before knows that I'm not in the business of doing a show for the sake of doing a show. I'm not going to talk about something the same way that other people are going to talk about it. I want to bring my angle to it, my originality to it, and really get into it, know what I'm saying. So you're going to hear some of the clips that I think are important from Bill Belichick's press conferences, as well as Tom Brady's. But it's a very interesting scenario, because the Patriots were already found guilty of cheating when they were filming the signals of the New York Jets back a few years in the early 21st century. And I found it interesting in Bill Belichick's second press conference on the potentially deflated balls and whether or not the Patriots did it on purpose and all of that, that he said, listen, we filmed them, meaning the Jets, and there's 80,000 people at the game. So he's basically saying we filmed them, but anybody could have filmed them. I mean, when you make a statement like that, what I took away from it was there's 80,000 people there. So, yeah, we filmed them so we could look at it, but anybody could have looked at it. So basically, like, we're guilty, but we're not. And he said, you know, a lot of teams have been doing it at the time. So that's not somebody that I think is really apologetic or realized that they did anything wrong or believes that they did cheat when they're saying, yeah, we filmed it in front of 80,000 people. So basically what I take from that is, well, you know, why couldn't we film it? Because there's so many people there that other people can see it and other people will know what's going on. So how are we to be held accountable? And then making the comment, yeah, you know, we got punished for it, but a lot of teams were doing it. So basically, like, hey, you know, a lot of teams were doing it. Why us? Or, you know, we thought it was okay because a lot of teams were doing it. So not really fond of that from Bill Belichick. That doesn't really tell me that you're remorseful. Doesn't really tell me that you care about any integrity of the game to make comments like that, that there's so many people in the game, so what that we filmed it, and FYI, other teams were doing it, so what that we did it. I really don't like that. I really can't appreciate that. I really can't find a lot of respect for that, because it's ridiculous. Why say something like that? You got caught. Just come out, identify it. You were wrong. You did things the wrong way. And you're not. And he did say we're not going to ever do it again. He did say that. But it's ridiculous to me to make a statement like that and want people to take you seriously or want people to respect you in that case. I've spent my time. I listened to Bill Belichick's whole press conference the first time around. I listened to Tom Brady's entire press conference, and then Bill Belichick's second press conference. Bill Belichick, the head coach of the Patriots. Tom Brady, the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. Here's the thing. Let's just talk about the two people that should know more than anybody. It should really come down to your head coach, whether he knows or he doesn't know, he needs to know. Because everything falls on the head coach. He has to know what's going on. He's held accountable or she's held accountable no matter what. Whether you know it or you're not, you're held accountable. If your players don't pass tests and they're student-athletes in college, the head coach is held accountable. It's considered their problem just as much as it's the player's problem. Just as much as it's the school's problem. So, Bill Belichick, in this case, if the balls are deflated and it was an issue with the Patriots, then he has to be held accountable. Tom Brady has to be held accountable. Because who has the ball in their hands more than anyone else the entire game? Tom Brady. Besides the referees. Now, the referees have to spot the ball. So, they're another one that has to be included in this. But I'm talking just players right now. Who has the ball in their hands more than anybody else? The quarterback. The quarterback does. Quarterback and the center. You could say the quarterback and the center. So let's just preface it with that. It's time for us to go through here. I told you on my show, it's original. It's different. So we're going and we're listening to the audio. My take is going to be here with you. We're going to have some fun with it. We're going to joke around. You can't help but say that this stuff just writes itself. But there are some issues in the statements that were made. And I want to look at everything that was said by Bill Belichick as well as Tom Brady. So we'll start with the first comment that I want to go to. And these are in order of the press conference. I didn't take anything out of order, move anything out of context, put anything together. This is how it sounded as it went on. I'm not taking every part of the press conferences. Tom Brady's was a half an hour, so that would take a long time. But I'm going to go to the main parts, and we're going to break down what's being said and what's going on. So we'll start with this first comment by Bill Belichick.
I came in Monday morning. I was shocked to learn of the news reports about the footballs. I had no knowledge whatsoever of the situation until Monday morning.
Here's my first issue. Bill Belichick says, okay, they played the game on Sunday. They played the game Sunday night. He knew nothing until Monday morning, yet this is something that apparently was an issue during the game. It's something that apparently was talked about, or the Colts, maybe they did, maybe they didn't go up and say, hey, ref, can you check this? So this here's the thing. Whenever there's an issue, I don't like when somebody comes out and says, hey, listen, I had no knowledge of it. But maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't. Let's look to the other side of it. Maybe Bill Belichick had no idea in the world of social media and all the conversations that go on and the fact that people don't sleep anymore and are constantly talking about stuff, that he didn't see any of this. He left the game. He drove in the car with the radio off, and he went home and he went to bed, never turned the TV on. Let's just say that that's the case. Let's move on to the next statement by Bill Belichick.
I had no knowledge of the various steps involved in the game balls and the process that went through, that happened between when they were prepared and went to the officials and went to the game. So I've learned a lot about that.
This statement, Bill Belichick, head coach of the Patriots, being in the league for as long as he has, as he stated, coaching for 40 years, making the statement that he had no idea about what happens with the balls. He had no idea of the steps that happen with the footballs or how they go. Now, this is something that, okay, again, let's say maybe he didn't know. Maybe he had no idea the procedure for the balls. Now, you're a coach, so you have to know everything that goes on. He's a meticulous coach. Some people have called him a micromanager. So just simply by the definition of being a micromanager, he would know what happened with the balls because he would know if the janitor picked up all the trash, what janitor was on shift, if he dropped a packet of sugar on the ground, was it there in the morning that meant somebody didn't do their job, how much mustard is left in each canister around the whole stadium. That's a micromanager. And obviously I'm blowing it out of proportion, but I'm just using it as an example. A micromanager would know the steps that would go on in the game in preparation of the footballs. But let's just say he didn't know. Let's just say he didn't know. He's been in the NFL for decades. Okay? He's been around for decades. He said 40 years of coaching. He's been around. It's been all over the place. Coach in their first year maybe doesn't know. Coach at this point, I would think that maybe he knows. Again, we're talking about someone who's been known as a micromanager not knowing something of a minute detail that he's describing it as before everything blew up.
I obviously understand that each team has the opportunity to prepare the balls the way they want, give them to the officials, and the game officials either approve or disapprove the balls, and that really was the end of it for me. Until I learned a little bit more about this the last couple days.
So Belichick says that. Now, listen, the only thing I know when it comes to the balls in the game, the footballs that are being played with, is that they have to be approved by the officials. I don't know the steps they take. I don't know the precautions. I don't know any of this stuff. In his first press conference, after everything came out with what was called Deflategate, which I told you I don't want to call it that. I know people call it that. I understand you got to put a gate at the end for a conspiracy. Watergate, Spygate, and now Deflategate. So he says, Bill Belichick says, in this last piece that we just listened to, here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app, that he had no knowledge of anything, didn't know anything except for the fact that referees had to inspect the ball and say, yay, we're a go, or no, we can't use him like this. So that's what he's claiming that he knows.
Let me just say that my personal coaching philosophy, my mentality, has always been to make things as difficult as possible for players in practice. And so with regard to footballs, I'm sure that any current or past player of mine would tell you that the balls we practice with are as bad as they can be. Wet, sticky, cold, slippery. However bad we can make them, I make them. And anytime that players complain about the quality of the balls, footballs, I make them worse, and that stops the complaint. So we never use the condition of the footballs as an excuse. We play with whatever or kick with whatever we have to use, and that's the way it is. That has never been a priority for me, and I want the players to deal with a harder situation in practice than they'll ever have to deal with in the game. And maybe that's part of our whole ball security philosophy.
Now, this is an interesting comment by Bill Belichick, the head coach of the Patriots. He's talking about practice, that he makes the footballs difficult to play with. Balls are wet. You know, the balls he's trying to make them uncomfortable, trying to make them play in bad conditions. You know, whether that means he throws mud on the football or he puts water on the football or whatever he may do. Now, I would say, you know, inflate, deflate the football, but he didn't bring that up, so I'm not going to say that, but as an example, he likes to do a lot of different things. He says, when my team complains about it, I make it worse. So this was an interesting comment because it kind of went away from the situation of deflating footballs. But I feel that, and obviously I don't know Bill Belichick personally, I'm not in his mind, but what I took away from this comment was that he was trying to say, listen, I make them play in terrible situations for the football, with the football, so I don't think that they would want to cheat, or it would even matter if it was deflated a little bit more or inflated too much, because I make them play in all these bad situations so they know how to use a football no matter what. So maybe this statement was used to try and tell the NFL or try and tell everybody, listen, my team wouldn't cheat with the football because I make it difficult and they can play in any situation with the football. So that's where I saw this comment coming from.
I think we all know that quarterbacks, kickers, specialists have certain preferences on footballs. They know a lot more about it than I do. They're a lot more sensitive to it than I am. And I hear them comment on it from time to time. But I can tell you, and they will tell you, that there is never any sympathy whatsoever for me on that subject. Zero. And Tom's personal preferences on his footballs are something that he can talk about in much better detail and information than I could possibly provide.
So this comment, I feel that we see Bill Belichick say, listen, now I'm telling you, the former comment, my team plays in all these bad situations with the football, so that's what I'm getting from his way of giving an example, saying, why would they cheat? Because they play in terrible situations with the football, so what would it matter? So that was to kind of take it off the players. Now, this comment is to take it off of him. He says, listen, the kickers, the quarterbacks, they like it a certain way. Kickers, punters, quarterbacks, they all know where they want the football, how they want it, but guess what? I take no sympathy to them. I don't care where they want it. So now it's taking him out of it, saying, all right, now how could I deflate the football to help somebody out because I don't care about that? So he wants you to believe in this statement that he has no concern or care of how a player wants it. He just does it the way that he wants to have it. Hey, you want a football that way? That's great. But I don't care. So this is his way of, I think, showing us that he doesn't have that sympathy toward a player to say, oh, okay, well, let me make the ball this way for you and the football this way for you and the football this way for you, which would take him out of doing it in a game situation.
I could tell you that in my entire coaching career, I have never talked to any player, staff member about football air pressure. That is not a subject that I have ever brought up. To me, the footballs are approved by the league and game officials pregame, and we play with what's out there. And that's the only way that I have ever thought about that.
Belichick going one step further here, saying, listen, we play with whatever situation that we're in. Whatever the ref gives us, that's what we play with. No complaints, no nothing. So another way of saying, why would my team do this? Why would I do this? We follow the rules. Plain and simple on that comment from Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots head coach.
I've learned about the inflation range situation. Obviously, with our footballs being inflated to the 12.5-pound range, any deflation would then take us under that specification limit. Knowing that now, in the future, we will certainly inflate the footballs above that low level to account for any possible change during the game. So, as an example, if a ball deflated from 13.2 to 12.9, it wouldn't matter. But if it deflated from 12.5 to 12.3, it would. So, as an example. So, we will take steps in the future to make sure that we don't put ourselves in that type of potential situation again.
So now, Bill Belichick saying, okay, 12.5 is the limit. We can't just inflate them to 12.5, because if anything happens to the football whatsoever, if it changes, which he'll go into more in depth in his latter press conference that we will take a look at here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Take a listen to, I should say, on WakeUpCallDT.com and the free Wake Up Call DT app. He will go more in depth on that, but here he's saying, listen, if 12.5 is the limit, then I need to make sure that the footballs are inflated higher, because if they come down just a little bit, 12.4, 12.3, 12.2, now I'm under, and if I get caught with this, now it's a second offense, now I've done it again, now it's a big issue. So I can't have them at 12.5, I have to have them more than 12.5, but as we'll hear later on from Tom Brady, Tom Brady said he likes them at 12.5, the lowest they can be. That is his perfect number. He likes it at 12.5. Bill Belichick saying maybe we can't inflate them to 12.5 because of this issue. So how can you inflate them to stay above 12.5 and never dip below that in a game? And at the same time, how can you please your quarterback, Tom Brady, who says that he has a preference of 12.5, which you'll hear later on here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com and the free Wake Up Call DT app. That is the conundrum that gets started from that comment, and we move on here with Bill Belichick.
I have no explanation for what happened, and that's what they're looking into. So I can't comment on what they're doing. That's something that you should talk to them about. Again, my overall knowledge of football specifications, the overall process that happens on game day with the footballs is very limited. Let's say that during the course of the game, I honestly never, probably has happened on an incomplete pass or something, but I've never touched a game ball. That's not something that I have any familiarity with on that. And again, I was completely and totally unaware of any of this that we're talking about in the last couple of days until Monday morning. So based on what I knew Sunday night, thinking back on this, which I've done several times, really can't think of anything that I would have done differently based on what I knew then, based on what I know now. I told you the one change we would make in the initial start level of the football pressure, but that's really about it.
So here Bill Belichick says, hey, if you want to know what's going on, you got to talk to the NFL to figure out, you know, what they're doing or what they're finding, what they're seeing. So he puts it on the NFL. But then he makes a comment that I think is going a little bit too far. Now, these are the comments that he doesn't have to say. It's kind of where, you know, somebody says in a conversation, you say too much, you just talk too much, you know. You deliver your statement, right? You say what you need to say. But then you keep going, you know, telling somebody, hey, I can't make it, my grandmother's in the hospital. Well, you don't have to say, well, she's in the hospital and she has this, and I'm going to see her at 12:42, and then after I see her at 12:42, I got to do this one. Because now it looks like you're trying to prove yourself. You're trying to give people specific points and specific things inside of the statement to make it, oh, boy, I can't be there. Now, sometimes that's necessary, sometimes that's not. In this situation, I don't find it necessary for Bill Belichick to say this, and I don't think it's right for him to say this, because you don't want to be looked at right now like you had been caught red-handed by the NFL. They haven't decided anything yet. They haven't figured out exactly what they want to do, but you're in this situation. The last thing you want to do is make a statement that is very hard to prove that you are telling the truth. If a statement, you know, if there's a statement where there is that opportunity, you know, the sky is blue when there are not clouds. That's a statement that you could prove that statement pretty much. Now, in the case of Bill Belichick saying, listen, I've never touched a game ball. I don't do that. Maybe on an incomplete pass, but I don't ever touch a game ball. I bet you that you can go through videotape of former NFL games, former NFL clips, where Bill Belichick touches the football, picks the football up, catches the football, has the football. People are going to, and there will be people that will do this. They will find pictures and find videos circling Bill Belichick holding a game ball during a game. In all the time that he's been coaching, for the decades that he's been around, for him to make a bold-faced statement like, I've never touched a game ball, that is something you don't want to do in this situation, because, like I said, not even a white lie, not even a small lie, not even, I think this is what happened. If you are not sure, you do not say it. And it is very hard to say that a head coach has never touched the football ever on the field for decades that he's been coaching. So this is a statement that if I'm in Bill Belichick's shoes, I would have never even thought about saying something like this. Or if I had thought about it, I would hope that I would have talked to somebody before that said, and I know my wife in this situation would say this to me, she would say, you probably don't want to say never because you can't be sure.
I've told you everything I know. I have nothing. I don't have an explanation. I've told you everything I know. Told you everything I know.
After Bill Belichick made all of his comments, his, if you want to call it an opening address, it was very long, but with Bill Belichick talking about everything before he opened it up to questions, he said what he wanted to say at the time. When he opened it up to questions, that's what you just listened to. You just listened to him literally say,
I've told you everything I know. I have nothing. I don't have an explanation. I've told you everything I know. Told you everything I know.
Now, that is not something that I put on a loop. That is what people receive from Bill Belichick. That was his answer. I told you everything I know. I told you everything. I told you everything I know. I told you everything. Multiple questions, different questions about different things. I told you everything I know. I told you everything I know. So Bill Belichick not wanting to answer questions in this situation. Now, this to me was an issue as well, because you say everything you want to say, and it's easy to have a one-sided discussion. It's easy to shut the other person up, put them on mute, say everything you want to say, And then when you say, okay, now you can talk, and you can talk to me about what I just said to you, cutting them off and saying, nope, can't talk about it. No, I said everything I needed to say. Think about if you had that conversation with your best friend or your mom or your dad or your husband or your wife or your kids. Think about that. Let's use the husband-wife, for example, or with your partner or whatever. Let's use that as an example. Okay, you're married to someone, and they want to talk to you about something. So you say, okay, let me tell my side of the story. Let me tell you what I know. So you go on and you spew off all these words, all these statements for 9 minutes. 9 minutes. Around the time here of Bill Belichick's first address. So let's say 9 minutes. You just talk, and they just sit and listen, and they wait patiently. Now, you stop and you say, okay, now we can talk. You and I can have a conversation now. So as soon as your partner, your husband, wife, opens their mouth, and they say, well, you know, I want to go back to what you said. You told me that you were going to do this. And you say, yeah, I told you everything I know. I told you, yeah, but you know, you said you would take care of the kids, pick them up. Listen. I told you everything I know. I told you everything I wanted to say. Well, you know, we really don't spend a lot of time talking. Listen, I'm going to bed. I told you everything I know. I have nothing more to say on the subject. Think about who's sleeping on the couch that night. You cannot have a discussion with people where you get to speak, and then your response to everybody else is, I don't want to answer the question. That's what I told you, everything I know. I told you everything I know. That is, I don't want to answer your question. I told you everything I know, and that's all I know, and everything I know, and that's all I know. It's a cop-out. I cannot have a conversation with my mom, my dad, my wife, my best friend, by saying, you know what, I said what I needed to say, okay. In a relationship, taking that next step, do you love me? Oh, listen. You know what I know, and I know what you know, and it's everything that I know, and I like pretzels, and people like to ski. Now, stay focused, stay on point. Bill Belichick did not help himself with how he addressed questions after his initial statements the first time around. We'll take a short step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app. When we come back, Tom Brady talks about his balls. Now, listen, this is a family show, people. It has always been a family show. We've had five-year-olds listen. We've had people in their 80s and 90s listen. So here's my thing. As I told you before, it writes itself. Tom Brady makes a lot of comments about his balls. And that's fine. That's what he wants to do. New England Patriots' head's underwater, but they're acting like they're breathing fine. Bill Belichick, hey, this is what I know. Don't really have to answer your questions. Tom Brady's coming up next. And Tom Brady says some things that maybe he should have had, you know, a speechwriter, somebody work with him. Maybe the agent should have gone over some of these answers. You be the judge. We'll listen to it. We'll have some fun with it coming up next here where sports meets life. You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Borio's Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Borio's Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Borio's Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Borio's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Borio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At DreisigApparel.com, that's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G Apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreisig Apparel. D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G Apparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at DreisigApparel.com. That's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G Apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's F-A-N-H-A-N-D-S.com. I can take that and enhance that for you. Make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com. And all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. Find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Fanhands.com. That's fanhands.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned, visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
Supporting a United States veteran is something that shouldn't even be a question on your mind. The freedom for me to stand here today as a broadcaster, to have started my own company, comes from sacrifices made by United States veterans. Give back to them by buying the book 15 Feet for Free. It was created by Jim Lee, Syracuse Orange alum, to help basketball players around the country to learn and to grow in the sport, but at the same time, he created the book with a bigger message. By going to AuthorHouse.com and buying 15 Feet for Free, half of every single book that's bought goes back to the United States veterans. He wanted to do something special for his father, who was a veteran, and for veterans everywhere. So go to AuthorHouse.com now and buy 15 Feet for Free. It doesn't take much to give back to a United States veteran. AuthorHouse.com, 15 Feet for Free. Give back to them today.
I didn't, you know, have any, you know, I didn't alter the ball in any way. I have a process that I go through before every game where I go in and I pick the balls that I want to, the footballs that I want to use for the game. Our equipment guys do a great job of breaking the balls in. You know, they have the process that they go through. When I pick those footballs out, at that point, you know, to me, they're perfect. I don't want anyone touching the balls after that. I don't want anyone rubbing them, you know, putting any air in them, taking any air out. To me, those balls are perfect, and that's what I expect when I show up on the field.
Sometimes it just writes itself. Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app. There's really not much to say. I think Tom said it right there. What if the press conference ended that way? What if it ended just like this?
I don't want anyone touching the balls after that. I don't want anyone
rubbing them, putting any air in them, taking the air out. To me, those balls are perfect.
What if that's the way that it ended? What if I just played that in the show, dropped the mic, and I'm out?
I don't want anyone touching the balls after that. I don't want anyone rubbing them, putting any air in them, taking the air out. To me, those balls are perfect.
Statements. It's a true statement. Statement that he made. But Tom Brady did say, all jokes aside, I didn't alter the balls in any way. So he comes out and he says, right in the beginning, listen, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. Not me. Take the spotlight off of me. And then he goes on to talk about an interesting take on the footballs. We move on here with more from Tom Brady.
Now that happened, obviously, on Sunday night. It was the same process that I always go through. I didn't think anything of it. Obviously, I woke up Monday morning and answered a question on the radio about it. And that was the first I really heard it.
Now Tom Brady, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, echoes what was said by the head coach of the Patriots, Bill Belichick. He says, I didn't know about any of this until Monday morning. Now, he held every football on offense through four quarters, but he didn't know that anything was going on with the footballs until Monday morning when he was asked a question on a radio show. Now, it's hard for me to believe that Bill Belichick had no notion of anything at all through the game and after the game until the next day. But let's just say he did. Tom Brady has been in the league for over a decade. Mark Brunell has been out of the league for a few years now, played quarterback for the Jaguars, most notably. He touched three different footballs. He's been out of the league for years. Touched three different footballs. He knew which one immediately was underinflated, overinflated, and just right. Now, how does he know that? But Tom Brady, who's currently playing in the league and has his hand on a football almost 24/7, has no idea when the football isn't the way that it's supposed to be. Now, I'm not an NBA player. I was not a Division I men's basketball player. But I've played basketball throughout most of my life. And in playing basketball, when I hold on to a basketball, I know when it is really, really, really tight. When there's a ton of air in there and the basketball is just, you bounce it on the ground and go flying up in the air. I know when it's not too tight that you think it's going to pop, and I know when it's underinflated. If the ball is severely underinflated, you go to bounce it and it kind of just doesn't go that high off the ground, kind of falls back down. Now, I can palm a basketball. Okay, I have bigger hands, I can palm a basketball. I can palm with my right hand and I can palm with my left hand. So with the dominant, with the offhand. But here's the thing, and this is a good example of this. It's a lot easier for me to palm a basketball, just like anybody else, if it's a little underinflated, because I could dig my fingers into it, which is the same thing you could do with a football. So what I'm saying is, I did not play professionally, and I did not play Division I college basketball. However, I know what a basketball is supposed to feel like, and I know when it's too much, too little. I know when it's good. I know when the basketball is, okay, this is a playable basketball. But I can feel the difference. So how can I, who did not play pro and did not play 4 years of college basketball, D1, how can I know what a basketball is supposed to feel like, but Tom Brady, who plays football all the time and who is constantly practicing and playing in games, how can Tom Brady not know if a ball is underinflated, overinflated, or the way it's supposed to be? How can he not know? That is a question that I ask you. It's a question I asked Tom. Now, I know that Tom was asked the question, but how can he not know? How can he not know? It's as simple as that. How can Mark Brunell know? How can I know when it comes to a basketball? And I'm not playing ball right now. I'm not out there for the Toronto Raptors. I would love to be out there on the court playing some ball. Be great. Be an amazing accomplishment. Tom Brady should be very proud of where he is. I'm sure he is. But we're not stupid here. Okay?
Okay.
We're not stupid here. It's not that hard to figure out. I could dig my finger into this a little bit more, and I can't dig my finger into this that much. Oh, wow, that one's like crazy. If I bounce it on the ground, it'll go flying. So this is something I have a very hard time with. Tom Brady, the world-renowned quarterback, not knowing what the football is supposed to feel like and what it's not supposed to feel like and what's inflated or underinflated. That's ridiculous to me.
I don't believe so. I mean, I feel like I've always played within the rules. I would never do anything to break the rules. And I believe in fair play, and I respect the league and, you know, everything that they're doing to try to create a very competitive playing field for all the NFL teams. It's a very competitive league. You know, every team is, you know, trying to do the best they can to win every week. You know, I believe in fair play, and I always believe in it for as long as I'm playing.
When someone asks you if you're a cheater, if you think that you are a cheater, your answer, if you are not a cheater, is no. Have I ever cheated on anyone in any of my relationships? No. I can tell you that right here on the show, right here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app. I have never cheated on anyone I've ever dated. How would you like being my next girlfriend, right? Just a hypothetical. Let's say I'm not married right now, and I'm single. I'm looking for a nice girl, right? Because I actually do look for nice girls. I don't need no more crazy. Had enough crazy. So I'm looking for a nice girl, and she says, are you a cheater? Have you ever cheated? And I say, I don't believe so. Like I fell asleep, and at some point in my lifetime, someone took over my body, may or may not have cheated. When I woke up, I was like, whoa, what happened? I have no idea what I did the last 3 months. How would that work in a relationship? Are you a cheater? I don't believe so. Okay, your clothes are out on the front lawn. I don't believe so. Are you kidding me? I don't believe... No. Are you a cheater? No, I don't think so. Did you murder that person? Not that I can remember. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think I did it. Mm-mm. I don't think I did it. Maybe I did. I don't know. Are you kidding me? Tom Brady, if you're... And I know there's the Lance Armstrong, did you do steroids? And he's screaming no and flipping out, and then he ended up doing them. So I know he's like a special case. Where it's like, well, Dan, he said that, but you know what? That to me, like, I believe Lance Armstrong. Well, I believe him. He said no, but I don't believe so. That's do you? Your husband? Do you have another family? Your husband comes and asks you. I think that I got some evidence here. Do you have another family living on Long Island that you didn't tell me about? I don't believe so. Not the last time I checked Long Island. So. I'm not calling Tom Brady a cheater, but I don't believe so. That makes you look like a cheater in any other situation. So, I would, if I'm not a cheater and I'm Tom Brady, I'm not definitely not making a statement like that.
I was as surprised as anybody when I heard Monday morning what was happening. I think over the last few days, people have been trying to figure out, as the NFL is trying to figure out, you know, what part of the process you know, from when I saw the ball, which was 5 hours before halftime, you know, what exactly happened.
So now continuing on here in Heads Underwater, a segment brought to you exclusively and only here and only from Boreo's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York, the best seat in Central New York.
My head's underwater, but I'm
8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York, is where Borio's restaurant lies, right on the water, right by a golf club, and in a community of very nice people. An opportunity to meet many of you out at Borio's during live shows with Syracuse NFL and CFL alum Rob Drummond, as well as former Syracuse basketball player turned Syracuse assistant coach Adrian Autry. Had a ton of fun out there, have spent so much time talking with the community and talking with people that don't even live in Central New York anymore, but they come back. They fly back from Denver and Atlanta. We've met people from that flew back because they have family here and wanted to all get together at Borio's, and every time they come back, they go to Borio's. Think about that. People in Central New York go to Borio's, and then once these people move away, when they come back to visit, part of their connection, part of their feel-good home life, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm back, is to go to Borio's. That says a lot about the family at Borio's, and it says a lot about the family that they make you feel a part of, that bigger family. 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Borio's Restaurant proudly presenting Heads Underwater exclusively here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app. So, this last comment made by Tom Brady. Now, he again talks about, I had no idea until Monday morning what was going on. I don't see the balls for 5 hours. I don't see the balls for 5 hours. Well, you have them during the game, Tom. You have them during the game. I don't see the balls for 5 hours. I test them. Well, not before the game. Apologize if I said that. 5 hours, right? I check the balls. I test the ones. I say, these are the ones I want. And then I don't see them again. I don't see them again for 5 hours. Do you not play with the footballs? Do you play with baseballs? Or volleyballs, tennis balls? I'm going to know what it is. When I see it, I'll be able to grip it and know. So this is another statement that makes absolutely no sense to me. I haven't seen him for 5 hours, so what do I know? You know that you would definitely hold on to the ball and know what the heck is going on. I mean, you don't have your cell phone, right, for 5 hours. I left alone for 5 hours. I don't know if I got any messages in 5 hours' time. Yes, you do. When you turn your phone on, you know if you got messages or not, because your phone dings. It's like a football. I haven't seen the football in 5 hours. Okay, but I know that if I felt it, ooh, feels good here, now I could dig my finger into it. Oh, now it's too much. Now I can't grip it at all. You know the difference. You know the difference. And I find it hard to believe if the ball was overinflated that if you're the quarterback, you wouldn't say something. Because if it's underinflated, it helps you. If it's normal, it helps you. But I can't see, especially Tom Brady, when he says he likes 12.5 specifically multiple times, I can't see him if it was like 13, 13.5, 14, that he wouldn't turn around and be like, this is overinflated. Can we take some air out of this? I honestly, because I believe, I mean, underinflation helps you. Overinflation doesn't, right? So, in my mind, if Brady was in a situation where it was reversed and it was overinflated, I would think he would know, and I would think that he would stop the game and say something to the official. That's just my thought.
I think that there's a process that everybody goes through breaking in footballs, and it's, you know, probably like a lot like a baseball mitt when you were a kid. I try to explain that to my friends a lot. You know, when you use it, that's your equipment, and that's a football is something that I handle on every play. I want to be very familiar with the equipment that I'm using, just like my cleats, just like my helmet, just like my, you know, my pads. You know, you go through that process of breaking the balls in and getting comfortable with them. Of course, you know, I choose the balls that I want to use for the game, and then, you know, that's what I expect to go out on the playing field later.
When I saw the ball, which was 5 hours before halftime, I don't know what happened in that time period. That's the exact quote from Tom Brady is, when I saw the ball 5 hours before halftime, he quotes that. That after that, that quotation, 5 hours before halftime, after that, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened after I saw the ball, which is 5 hours before halftime. I don't know what happened. Well, you play in the game with the ball, don't you, Tom? You don't play with a volleyball, baseball, pool stick, cue ball. You play with a football. You saw the football 5 hours before halftime. Touch them. I like these. Use those, ball boy. Thank you. You're amazing. And I don't know what happened after that. I mean, 5 hours before halftime, I don't know what happened after that. Well, you played in the game. Don't say you didn't see the ball. The last time you saw the ball was 5 hours before halftime. You saw the ball in the first quarter, and you saw the ball in the second quarter, and in the third and the fourth. And guess what? You know the difference. How can you not know the difference? Because here's my thing. The statements being made by Tom Brady that, you know, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't tell the difference. I played the whole game, and then I woke up Monday morning, and everybody's like, the ball's running inflated. And I'm like, what? It's like Scooby. I mean, really? You had no idea. You had no clue. You had your hand on the ball the entire game. I played this whole crazy sport that I haven't played for over a decade called football, where you had to hold a football, and I had no idea that it was different. None at all. Well, here's my thing. Let's look at the opposite way, reverse way. If the ball was overinflated, Tom Brady has said repeatedly he likes 12.5. He likes the football to be inflated to 12.5, which is the bare minimal the NFL needs. The bare minimal. That should say something to you. The bare minimal point. Bare minimum. 12.5. So that is as soft as you can have the ball. So he likes it at its softest point by NFL rules. So wouldn't it help out Tom Brady to have it just a little bit softer? 12.4, 12.3, 12.2, 12.1. Now here's my thing. If it was overinflated, this is what I'm talking about, the reverse. If the ball was overinflated, he likes it at 12.5. So Tom Brady can't tell the difference between 12.5 and anything lower. But I believe he could tell the difference if it was higher. If you can specifically tell me you like 12.5, okay? Again, I did not play professional basketball. But when I go and I grab a basketball at a gym, I feel each of the basketballs. And I find the one to my liking. They might all be almost the same, but I find the one that I like. Inflated just right for my liking so that I can grip the basketball and I can feel comfortable with it. I do that. I'm not a pro. So you're telling me that you don't know the difference. I woke up Monday morning. I was like, wow, what happened? It's like a dream sequence. I believe 12.5. If you like 12.5, and that's what you know, that if it's anything higher, that he would stop and he would say, hey, ref, this isn't right. I think if a quarterback likes the ball to be inflated to its minimum that's accepted by the NFL, then I would think anything over that, he's going to feel the difference. He's going to say something about it. So you're telling me, I don't know when it's under-inflated, but you know when it's over-inflated because you like it at 12.5. So this is a contradictory statement, because if you know one, you have to know the other.
From the first half to the second half, I didn't think twice about it. I mean, I don't have to put one thought into the football at that point. You know, once I approved the ball, like I said, that's the ball that I expect out there on the field. So it wasn't even a thought, inkling of a concern of mine that, you know, they were any different. I just assumed that they were exactly the same. First half, second half.
First half, second half footballs. Tom Brady talking here. We're listening in, and I'm thankful for all the audio provided through NFL Network's coverage and ESPN's coverage of the press conferences with Bill Belichick, the head coach of the New England Patriots, and the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots, Tom Brady. You're listening here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app, to this special segment presented exclusively by Boreo's Restaurant, and that is Heads Underwater. We're taking a look at Tom Brady right now, listening in here and breaking down some of these comments and going through everything. The comment he just made, first half, second half, didn't even think about the difference in the balls. If there was a difference in the balls, he's locked in, right? The game starts, he's locked in, get the ball, play with it, go into the locker room, come back in the second half, get the football, keep playing with it, keep going. Okay, so that happens. He just, you know, he says, listen, I go out in the game, give me the football, I go, second half, go, boom, game done, we won, Super Bowl, guess we did something right. I just assume the footballs were the same. Now, this is another statement where if he's telling us prior to this that he has to break the football in and he knows the football, but then he's saying he doesn't know the football, this is my question. How do you not know the difference? How can you be an NFL quarterback for over a decade and not know the difference? How can you like 12.5 specifically and not know the difference? How can you break in a football and then play with a football and not know the difference? How can you pick a football 5 hours before halftime, play with the football, and not know if it's the same football? How can you feel it in the second half after the first half where there's only 15 minutes difference, but not even that because you're coming out and practicing? How can you not know the difference between the footballs? There is more of a probability that any quarterback that has played the game would know the difference in these instances outside of having no clue whatsoever, as if they had just touched a football as a baby for the first time.
I have no knowledge of anything. I have no knowledge of any wrongdoing of any. Yeah, I'm very comfortable saying that. I'm very comfortable saying that nobody did it. As far as I know, I don't know everything. I also understand that I, you know, was in the locker room preparing for a game for 5 hours. I don't know what happened over the course of the process with the footballs. I was preparing for my own job and doing what I needed to do.
Now, this is a comment here on Heads Underwater segment, brought to you by Borio's Restaurant, exclusively on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora.
My head's underwater, but I'm breathing fine.
On WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app, Borio's Restaurant, the best seat in Central New York, right on Oneida Lake, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. That's 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Nestled in a wonderful part of Central New York with very nice people that are out there in the community. Golf course right by there, as well as Oneida Lake, which, even in the winter, beautiful to watch the snowfall. You can look at the little islands out there. Snowmobilers come over when the ice is thick enough. Please be careful if you're a snowmobiler. I know the stories of people that have fallen through the ice before. Please be careful. Be smart when you come through. Plenty of snowmobilers come across Oneida Lake to Borio's Restaurant to come in and have a drink, as well as get something to eat and just relax. So please be careful, and please take care of yourselves when you're out there. Thank you for that, truly. I'm thanking you for being careful, because there's people out there that love you and care about you. And I know the community at Borio's Restaurant cares about each and every one coming in, because there was about 20 to 40 snowmobiles that were out there last winter, and people could just come and go as they please. But there's a bunch of snowmobiles out there, and Borio's allowed one of the areas near one of their banquet rooms to be used for the snowmobilers to put their helmets and their jackets and everything. They could put all their gear in one area of Borio's so they could come upstairs, get something to eat without having all this gear on and everything. So Borio's gave them an opportunity to feel comfortable, have a place where all their stuff is kept, and at the same time be able to just go up, do what they want, leave when they please, go grab their stuff, and go. So Borio's Restaurant just going above and beyond. You don't hear of restaurants saying, oh yeah, you can park all your snowmobiles here and take off all your gear and relax, and we'll give you a spot for it, and we'll let you do that. I've never heard of that before, Borio's Restaurant, actually, and that's an honest, truthful statement. You know I would not lie to you. I have no reason to. I've never seen that many snowmobilers in one area, and I've never seen a restaurant that's that accommodating. 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York, Borio's Restaurant. Perfect for your next banquet. Make sure you call them, 315-699-2249. Or if you're just getting everybody together for snowmobiling, a reunion, sports banquet, bridal shower, whatever it may be, bachelor party, whatever you're doing. For my bachelor day, so we didn't have a bachelor party. I didn't want to just have one party at night. We had a day. I told everybody in my party, I said, we are going to have a bachelor day. We're going to do things all day long. And we did. The first thing that we did was go to Borio's restaurant. That's where we went to eat on my bachelor day. That's where I took my friends that were coming to me from Vermont, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Florida, all over the place. I brought them to Borio's restaurant to start off the day. Borio's gave us the meal to give us energy for the rest of the day. They helped supply us with energy. So thank you to Borio's restaurant for being a part of my day. Let them be a part of yours. Call them 315-699-2249. You can also just go see them at 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. They're bringing you Heads Underwater exclusively here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora to look at these statements currently from Tom Brady in his press conference discussing something that he should have, this is something that you should never say. He should have never said this. That he feels comfortable saying he doesn't think anybody did anything wrong with the footballs. Oh, striking conscious here. That little voice inside you going, hey, Tom, maybe you don't want to vouch for everybody because you're getting ready for the game. You're not overseeing everybody. Even the owner of the team's not overseeing, you know, Robert Kraft, he's not overseeing everybody. He's not watching everybody. He's not watching the ball boy before a game. Maybe he is now after everything's come out for the Super Bowl. Probably not even now. But to come out and say, you know what, I don't think anybody did this. And I think it's safe to say that I feel comfortable saying that nobody did this. Way to tick. I wasn't looking at everybody. I was in the locker room. I was preparing for a game. This is a statement you should never say, because when you make contradictory statements, that makes you look guilty. It makes you look confused. It makes you look unprepared. And looking sloppy in an investigation is not a good thing. The second part of this is never make a statement, just like with Bill Belichick, that he never has ever touched a ball in a football game standing on the sideline ever, 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 unless it was an incomplete pass, but even then he doesn't think he did. Do not make statements that you cannot back up. Do not back a statement like not touching a football, which is ridiculous. You're a coach on the sideline. Or being a quarterback saying, I don't think anybody did anything wrong. Oh, wait a second. I wasn't watching everybody. Maybe they did, but I don't think they did. Why would they? Those are statements that are not going to help the Patriots, and I think that that's very simple to see.
Yeah, I know. I remember, you know, I obviously read that I said that. You know, I like them at the way that I like them, which is at 12.5. I mean, to me, that's a perfect grip for the football. So, I mean, I think that particular term, you know, deflated or inflated, whatever norm you're using, you could probably use. I would never do anything outside of the rules of play. I would never, you know, have someone do something that I thought was outside of the rules.
This is where something can come back and bite you in the butt. The question that was asked that provoked this answer from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady was about him saying that he likes a softer ball, that when Rob Gronkowski spikes the ball because Rob's so strong and hits it against the ground, that it takes a little bit of air out of it, and he likes that because he likes a softer ball. Saying that, and then saying, I like 12.5, which, like I said, that is the limit. This is not what you want to say in a situation of trying to figure out if the balls were tampered with. For footballs, they have to be 12.5 or higher. Tom Brady has made a comment, and even if you're making a joking comment, these are the comments that come back and bite you in the butt, because now the balls are underinflated, 11 of 12, because apparently somebody forgot to do the 12th one, whatever that was. If that's the case, it's a joke, all jokes aside, 11 out of 12 were underinflated. They go back to a comment, hey Tom Brady, remember when you said that you like a softer football? And then Tom Brady responds to that question with saying, I like 12.5, which is the softest it can be. These are not, this is where you need, this, seriously, this is where Tom Brady, you need the lawyer standing next to you. Don't say that. No, he doesn't have to answer that. No, we're going to wait for trial for that. These are the things, these are no-nos in conversation. These are the no-nos. Tom, remember when you told us you like a softer ball? Yeah, I like it the softest it could possibly be under NFL rules. That would be okay, but it doesn't exonerate you in any way, shape, or form. We continue here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora.
Yeah, I have questions too, but, you know, I mean, there's nobody that I know that can answer the questions that I have.
I have questions too, but there's nobody that I know that can answer the questions that I have. Well, Tom, how about you go to the people that were in charge of the footballs or the officials that were officiating the game between the Patriots and the Colts and your head coach and your teammates and the rest of the staff and everybody that was around the ball? You can find an answer somewhere. The NFL is going to dig if they do this correctly and don't get shady here. If the NFL does this correctly, they're going to find answers somewhere. So for Tom Brady as the quarterback of the team who held on to the footballs for four quarters and likes to break them in and has said all this stuff that already sounds like there's no way possible he can't know the difference between a football that's underinflated and properly inflated and overinflated, is now saying, yeah, I want answers, but I don't know anybody that's going to answer those questions for me. I don't know anybody that can. Well, there has to be somebody that can, because somehow the balls got underinflated. And if it had to do by a human being doing it, then there's a human being somewhere in this world that did it. So the answer lies somewhere. This is where it's like, who done it? It's like Clue. It's like if I was playing Clue with Tom Brady, and Tom Brady right at the beginning is like, I don't know who's going to tell me who the killer was, or where they were, or what weapon they used. Tom, if you play the game and you investigate, you're going to figure it out. How do I know? How have I known in the past in Clue that it was Colonel Mustard with the wrench in the conservatory? How did I know that? Because I investigated. I dug deeper. Obviously, Tom Brady's not digging that deep after making a statement like that.
I go in there and I choose, you know, however many balls are necessary for the game. Sometimes it's 12, 16, 18, 24. This last particular game was 24. When I felt them, they were perfect. I mean, I wouldn't want anyone touching those. I would zip those things up and lock them away until I got out on the field and had the opportunity to play with them, and that's what I thought I was doing.
Tom Brady picks the balls, picks 24 footballs, likes them all, says keep them the way that they are. Now, he could like them all, but did he talk about them all being at the right number? Not under 12.5. Did he discuss any of that? No. He said, I went in, I liked the footballs, and I said, these are the ones I want, put them away. So, could he plead naivety? Could he plead that? That he was just naive to the entire situation? Could he plead youthful ignorance or innocence? Maybe. But going in and saying, I picked out a bunch of footballs that I really liked, and I took them, and I picked out the footballs I really liked, and I said, go with those guys. Okay. Well, what if I'm a baseball player, and I pick out all the bats I like, and I corked them all? I'm not saying Tom Brady cheated. I'm not saying he didn't. But going in and saying, I like the equipment that they're pushing my way, that doesn't mean that it was the correct equipment.
Not yet. Sure. Yeah, they might. They might. Yeah. I'm not sure.
This response from Tom Brady, the quarterback of the Patriots, this response is a bunch of his responses that just continued on from one another. This was to the question, did the NFL contact you? Have officials from the NFL, not referees, NFL officials, like, you know, the NFL representatives, did they contact you to talk about this? Not yet. Maybe they will. They haven't yet. Don't know why they haven't yet. Not yet. This is a huge issue. Now, if Tom Brady's lying about this, that's one thing. Just like Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner, I never saw the video. I never saw that extra footage of Ray Rice when I could tell that he literally cocked back his left arm and punched his fiance square in the face and she dropped straight down like a log. I didn't see that video in a year where there are social media.
Okay.
where there were people talking about it on Twitter.
Okay.
Favoriting it, retweeting it, putting it on YouTube.
Okay.
Putting it on Facebook.
Okay.
Putting it all over the place. People talking about it. Sportscasters and writers discussing it. I never saw the footage or knew any of the footage, even though we live in an era of social media where you literally had people talking about it right in front of your face. So, unless Roger Goodell has an old MS-DOS computer where you have to type in code and is playing Tetris and Arkanoid on it, and that's it, that doesn't allow him to get on the internet, and he doesn't own a phone, and he doesn't listen to the radio, and he doesn't watch television, and he doesn't read the newspaper, which would make him a terrible NFL commissioner, oh, by the way, how could he have missed it? How could he have missed it? How could you have not known? So now, with the NFL, have they approached Tom Brady? Tom Brady says no. Not yet. Nope. Maybe they will. Haven't yet. That, to me, is ridiculous. And I don't put this one on Tom Brady. And like I said, these quotes that you heard together in this last listen-in that we had, courtesy of ESPN, NFL Network, everyone that filmed Bill Belichick and Tom Brady giving their press conferences, the audio that you just heard was chronological order of responses to the same questions around NFL officials getting in touch with Tom Brady. This is wrong to me. Tom Brady has a press conference on Thursday, January 22nd. The game was played on Sunday, January 18th. So you have the 18th, the 19th, the 20th, the 21st, and the 22nd at the time. And no league official thought it was important to get in touch with the quarterback that was holding on to the footballs that are in question of the 11 of 12 being underinflated. That would make the NFL even more corrupt than it's looked in the recent era. That coming here on Heads Underwater, exclusively brought to you by Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Best seat in Central New York, right on Oneida Lakes. Pristine waters. You can look out at the islands, and like I said, even in the winter, so beautiful. Snowmobiles out there. I would, you know, if the ice is safe, then I would consider going out on it. I told my wife this yesterday. I said, I would love, not like a huge lake, like a really far across lake. I'm talking, you know, not too far. I'm not talking like 3 feet. Well, more than that. But I wanted to run across a lake or skate across a lake from one side to the other. Just go one side to the other. I think it would be really cool because it's something that you can't do all year round, right? You're technically walking on water, so to speak. But you're obviously on ice and not falling through into sub-zero temperatures. So I was talking about that to her, and I said, this would be awesome. Be great. She said, you can do it, no thanks. But that's something to think about. You know, people have swam across oceans. Why can't I skate across Oneida Lake outside of Borio's? Something to think about. Borio's, beautiful view, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Excellent food.
Okay.
Excellent experience.
Okay.
Comfortable bar atmosphere.
Okay.
Everybody's always been very nice, very respectful when Rob Drummond, Adrian, Autry, and I have been out there. So I appreciate that, and I thank the community for that. Nestled in a community that has a lot to do with just having that connection. You know, community is defined to me as having a bunch of people that come together that honestly care about strangers. They care about their neighbors that are not related to them and have no connection to them whatsoever, but they feel a concern and a care for them. That's how I feel when you're out in Cicero. I feel like there is a group of people that go to Borio's Restaurant that genuinely want the community to do well, want people to do well, and appreciate when something nice is done for them. So I thank them for that. Head out to Borio's, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. And you can call them to book the banquet rooms, which fill up very fast. So if you have any event going on, you want to go to a beautiful place And even in the middle of winter, I mean, you're planning out your weddings in June. You want to have your wedding somewhere. You still need a venue, Boreo's Restaurant. You need a bridal shower, Boreo's Restaurant. Baby shower, Boreo's Restaurant. Doesn't matter what time of year it is, because you can always plan ahead. And with Boreo's, you have to plan ahead. You have to get in there months beforehand and make sure that you reserve it. 315-699-2249 to call to reserve your banquet room right now. Make sure you do that, folks. Call in and have an opportunity to truly have an experience you won't have anywhere else. And the food is phenomenal. My wife had her bridal shower there. Loved the food there. Yeah, she invited me. I got to go and have the food, relax a little bit. It was very nice. So I thank Boreo's for everything they did for my wife. And that's what I said. I'll never lead you somewhere that I haven't utilized myself. So eating at Boreo's, being around the bar at Boreo's, doing live shows at Boreo's, being on the patio at Boreo's, inside at Boreo's, in all different parts of the dining room at Boreo's, and in the banquet room at Boreo's, I can tell you that looking at all angles of it, it's definitely worth your money. It's definitely worth your time. 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Proudly bringing you Heads Underwater as we sit here to talk about the Patriots who are underwater, but Tom Brady, Bill Belichick acting like they're breathing fine here throughout this deflated football situation as we head into the next comment.
I addressed that a little bit earlier in that, you know, like I said, I don't put any thought into the footballs after I choose them. You know, when you're out there playing, you know, in front of 70,000 people, like a home crowd, you don't think about it. You're just reacting to the game. I don't certainly think about the football. I just assume that it's the same one that I approve, you know, in the pregame.
I can understand being in a game situation and being focused, locked in, zeroed in, however you want to define it. Being in a game and you're in the zone. You hear teams, players talk about that all the time. Your buddy talks about that. Your sister talks about that. Girlfriend, boyfriend, mom and dad when they played. Grandma and grandpa, they talk about being in the zone, being focused, being locked in. Still, again, I find it very difficult to feel a football, play for over a decade in the pros, play in college, play throughout my childhood, no footballs, know what they feel like, know what I like, go into a game, play four quarters, and not know the difference. This is where I can't jump over the hump here and believe Tom Brady. I'm not saying he's a cheater. I'm just saying I don't think that this is an accurate statement, and I don't think it's something that, well, it's not that I don't think. I know it's something that I don't buy into. I'm in the heat of the game, and I have no idea what this ball is supposed to feel like. You go out and warm up with it, and then you play a half, and then you come out at halftime, you warm up again, and then you play another half. So at some point in this, just like you do in practice, you know what balls you like because you break them in and you're warming up with them and playing with them, which is the same thing in a game. Interesting.
I guess it's a challenging thing. I'm not squeezing the balls. I'm not, you know, I don't. That's not part of my process. I grab it. I feel the lace. I feel the leather. I feel the tack on the ball. You know, that's really what you go for. It's not like I'd ever squeezed the football. I just gripped the football. I think there's maybe a little bit of a difference in, how I do that.
I'm going to go ahead in this conversation right now that we're having here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app in Heads Underwater, proudly brought to you by Boreo's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. I'm going to go ahead while we're on the phone right now, and you have to trust me with this. And I know, well, you have to trust Tom Brady with everything he did, but I have not made some of the statements here that I think are very difficult to agree with or believe are true. I have never lied to you. I've been on the air for over a decade, and I have never lied to you. I've never had to say that before because I have never lied to you. And I say it now only because you cannot see what I'm about to do. I have a football. I have an NFL-ruled football in my hand right now, promising you this. Right now, I have the football in my hand. Now, I am holding on to the football. I'm going to grip the football, okay? I'm gripping the football. In order for me to put the football in my hand and get on the laces to grip it, I have to press my thumb on the bottom, right? It's just a normal thing that I'm seeing my body do. You don't pay attention to this, really think about it, until you have to do it, right? So I'm doing it right now. I have my hand, I have my four fingers on the laces and my thumb on the bottom. Every time I put my fingers on the laces, my thumb, I push in. That's what I do. It's how I grip it. Okay, that's how I hold on. I put my fingers on the laces, and I immediately, when I'm holding the ball up against my side, right? So I'm holding it up against my side, and I get my fingers on the laces, and then in order to hold on to it once I take it off my side, I squeeze with my thumb to hold on to the football. Now, I'm saying this because squeezing and gripping to me are the same darn thing. And I wanted to test it. I wanted to test it while I talk with you because I said, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Tom Brady's right. Maybe when I grip the football, I'm not squeezing it. But in order to grip a football, when you grip something, right, you hold it hard. When you grip it, you're holding on to it, right? You're squeezing it. When you grip something, you grab it. When you grab it, you press in with your fingers. When you press in with your fingers, you can tell if the ball is deflated a little bit. I'm holding this ball right now, and I can realize this ball is deflated a little bit. Since the last time that I held this football, it's deflated a little bit. Since the last time I held it, it's not as tight as it was. It's a little bit loose, this football. On the, where I'm touching with my thumb, I can press in a little bit. I press in when I'm gripping. When I press in when I'm gripping, as soon as I grab the ball, I put my finger on the laces, and I took it off my side to grip it with my thumb, the first thing I thought was, I need to put some air in this ball. So, Tom Brady, squeezing, gripping, same darn thing. I just did it. I'm holding on to the football right now. I don't know how I can grip the football without squeezing the football. Now that we've done that test, let's continue on here. Heads Underwater, proudly brought to you by Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York, here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com and the free Wake Up Call DT app.
I don't think that would make much of a difference. You know, if you know, like I said, I didn't feel any difference between what was 13-pound football or 11-pound football the other night. So it's yeah, it's pretty irrelevant to me.
I'm not spending a lot of time on this. I don't know the difference between a 14-pound football and 11-pound football. Well, guess what, Tom Brady? I feel like I can know the difference between 14 and 11. I might not know that it's 14 and 11, but if you give me a 14-pound football and 11-pound football, and I squeeze and or grip them per whatever definition or statement you would like to make. If I have a 14-pound football in one hand and I have an 11-pound football in another hand, and I grip them, squeeze them, whatever type of verbiage you want to use, if I squeeze them or grip them at the same time, one of them is going to be tighter than the other one. So I might not know that it's 14, and I might not know the other one's 11, but if I have the one with more air, the 14 in my right hand and the 11 in my left hand, I'm going to tell you the one in my left hand is not as tight as the one in my right hand because it's not inflated as much as the one in my right hand. When I feel like somebody in fifth grade can do this, I can't honestly sit here for a comment like that. 14 and 11, I don't know the difference. Well, I do. I do. I would know the difference between two footballs, with one being at 14 pounds and one being at 11 pounds, because guess what? I can squeeze the one 11 pounds a lot easier than I can squeeze 14.
If they want to check that, I would love for them to be a 12 and a half. Like I said, I think that's the perfect fit for me. I know there's other quarterbacks, like I said, that may prefer more than that. But, you know, that's what works for me. It's all in a very individual thing.
12.5, that's where Tom Brady likes him. This does not mean anything as far as deflated or overinflated or whatever it may be. 12.5 is where he likes them. Once again, that is the minimal. That is the minimal. This is something else I would have not said if I was Tom Brady. I like them to be as soft as possible. And again, 12.5, 12.5, 12.5. I don't know the difference between 14 and 11, but 12.5 How can you know one and not know the other? How can you know 12.5? If you know 12.5, then when you touch the football and it's not 12.5, it's 11 or it's 14, you're going to know. You can't say 12.5 and then say you don't know the difference between 14 and 11. That makes no sense. That makes absolutely no sense. And again, I am not saying Tom Brady did anything. I'm not saying the Patriots purposely did this. I'm saying listen to what you are saying. Listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth. And think before you speak.
Yeah, and they haven't, and I believe them. And they also know that how I like the balls, and I tell them how great they are before the game, and how, perfect job, great job. So they know how I like it, and that's, exactly the way they are.
This is Tom Brady taking the word of everyone, of those that handle the footballs. Now, he talks about not knowing who handles the footballs, what the process is, after he picks them, where they go, who has them, or any of that. So this is another contradictory statement because he had spoken in the press conference before, and once again, I thank the audio from the NFL Network as well as ESPN.com that we're playing for you here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app. Here in Heads Underwater, proudly brought to you by Borio's Restaurant, looking at the Patriots, Tom Brady, another contradictory statement. That, okay, well, I go to the guys, and the guys know me, and I always tell them good job. So he knows who they are. Okay, when he's talking about saying, I always tell them good job, and I like it, they know that I like it, they know they're doing a good job and everything. So you know who they are. Now, you're not telling us their names, and I understand that, but you know who they are. So you know who they are for this statement, but you don't know where the balls go after you have them. That's not part of your process. It's not something you do. That's something else that Tom Brady said, that he'd never be a part of the process. So he doesn't know after he picks the balls where they go and whatever. Bill Belichick says the same thing. Okay, but Tom Brady, okay, again, Bill Belichick, known to be a micromanager. People refer to him as a micromanager. Every minute detail. Well, guess what? Footballs and where they go in their process is a minute detail. Before this situation, it was a minute detail, right? Minute. 12.5, 12.6, minute. Tom Brady is someone who's very specific. I like 12.5. It's like saying, you know what? I like Sour Patch Kids, but I don't like the green ones. So when you give me the box, don't put any green ones in it because I won't eat it if the green ones touch the other ones. Very, very particular. 12.5. Mariah Carey. Green M&Ms when she comes to do her show. If there's any other M&Ms in there, she's not singing tonight. Okay? This is an issue. Because he's saying, I know where I like it. I know where I like it. And they know where I like it. And I'm very particular about this. But I don't know anything else. I find it very hard to believe the way that Tom Brady talked about the football, the way he described everything in 12.5 and breaking them in, that he isn't one of those guys that kind of peeks his head in and says, so guys, after I pick these footballs, where do they go? And maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe that's not his thing. But saying, once again, these guys know how I like the football. Maybe you like it underinflated. You're not telling us how they were at that time. When you give the thumbs up to the guys, it could be 12.5. They could tell you it's 12.5 and it's not 12.5. Whatever that may be. But that doesn't make the situation, that doesn't close the door on the investigation. They know how I like my footballs and they always make them the way I like them. Well, that's good. Some people like raw meat. It's not healthy to eat all the time. People will make it the way that you like it. It doesn't mean that you won't get food poisoning. So that's an issue. We'll continue here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on a very special Heads Underwater segment brought to you by Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York, the best seat in Central New York, on Oneida Lake. Borio's Restaurant, nestled in a very nice and approachable community. People have been awesome, wonderful, out at Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York, with the Lakeshore Country Club right there, as well as Oneida Lake. plenty to do, very relaxing. It's a nice little getaway place because you're still in Syracuse area, you're still in central New York, but you feel like you're on vacation. You feel like you're out in Massachusetts or Rhode Island, somewhere on the water, away from everything. It sometimes is just nice to drive out to Boreo's and have some lunch and sit there for an hour and just get away from everything. You just feel like you take a little breath, little break. Very nice. Heads underwater, trying to breathe, are the New England Patriots. This very special segment, we're looking at what's being said by Bill Belichick as well as Tom Brady, joking around a little bit about some of the things that have been said. Bill Belichick has some fun quotes coming up. I think this is one of those where when he goes and listens back to it, he's going to, maybe I shouldn't have said that because you know, give people ammo. I call them hotkeys. They're something that I will use multiple times in shows. Well, let me just say that what you're about to hear from Bill Belichick will be repeated on my shows as hotkeys for days to come, months to I'm pretty confident in saying years to come. Bill Belichick, more from him when we spin back around here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Heads Underwater, presented by Boreo's Restaurant, right here where sports meets life in the free Wake Up Call DT app and wakeupcalldt.com.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Hey.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreisigLady.com, DreisisIg Lady.com, with the bamboo line relaxed fit clothing as well as the athletic fit clothing. DreisigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable. In Dreisig Lady Apparel, DreisisIg Lady.com. For all the women out there, feel good in what you're wearing and don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreisigLady.com is the right fit for you. DreisisIg Lady.com.
Giovanni's Formal Wear is a locally owned and operated tuxedo store that takes pride in their reputation. Get a professional tailor and a custom fit in 1 hour and leave with your tuxedo in hand. So when the fiancé drags you to a chain, do yourself a favor. Look for Giovanni's Formal Wear and leave your men's fashion up to the professionals. Don't go to just some guy filling his quota. Giovanni's ask that you give them a chance to earn your business for life. Giovanni's Formal Wear. Their motto is to simply ask about them. Ask your friends. Ask your neighbors. A local men's shop built on an outstanding reputation as a friend, a neighbor, and caring community member who specializes in everything you need. Come in today to Giovanni's Formal Wear. Located next to Ponderosa Plaza on Route 11 in North Syracuse, across from Delta Sonic. Giovanni's, the tuxedo professionals.
You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Boreo's Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Boreo's Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Boreo's Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Boreo's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Borio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
I can feel the difference between the texture of the ball, of how to what degree it's broken in. If you put five balls out there, which ball's broken in the most, which ball's broken in the least, that's easy to identify, and that's the essence of the preparation. We prepare our balls over time, and we use them in practice. And that preparation process continues right up until the balls are given to the officials prior to the game. That's when they are finalized, if I could use that word. I would say that in that process, I've handled dozens of balls over the past week.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app. Proudly presenting to you Heads Underwater, focusing on the New England Patriots and this deflation issue. But even more than that, the things that are being said, it's not just about deflation. It's about what's being said. It's about how it's being handled. It's about how Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, the head coach and quarterback, respectively, of the New England Patriots, are handling this situation, and how the NFL has been mum on the whole situation. 11 of 12, the report comes out, 11 of 12 balls that the NFL checked were underinflated on the Patriots side. But Tom Brady's saying, hey, 4 days after the game, nobody's talked to me. Belichick is saying, we perform. Well, what you're about to hear now is Belichick's second conversation, which came on Saturday during the day, Saturday, January 24th, after his initial press conference on Thursday, January 22nd. So you're about to hear what he had to say on Saturday, his thoughts on this. Once again, as I told you before, I like to get the information. I like to read. I like to see. I like to watch mannerisms. Bill Belichick, in his first press conference, one thing I noticed is that his voice was shaking. Hear me talking to you like this, and hear me talking to you like this, then I'm okay with the situation, and I'm okay with the situation. Two totally different things. No, everything's fine. Everything's fine. They sound completely different. Well, there were moments that I caught that with Bill Belichick. Nerves. Now, he doesn't seem like the type of person to me that would be nervous speaking to crowds, or nervous being at the press conference. Seems like somebody that likes to speak his mind. It seems like maybe he doesn't like to talk to people that much, but I don't think that it's an issue of him being afraid to speak. So I took a hold of that. Now you just heard the intro of Bill Belichick, what he started to say. Put five balls in front of him. In hindsight, Bill, maybe some other words. Put a bunch of balls in front of him, he'll know the texture. That's neither here nor there. That's fine. Do what you want. It's okay. Interesting. Just, it's funny how you don't think about ball and football. I've said both in the show. I've said ball and I've said football. You don't think about it, but you always have to be watching that. I always think about that. You have to have the dirty mind before the dirty mind. Your mind has to go dirty. Not that you are dirty, but you have to go to that world. And you have to be prepared for it. Because the words that are coming out of your mouth, you have to think, I'm about to say something. I got to go dirty on this in my head. I got to think, if someone heard this, could they take it that way? Now, in this day and age, so many things can be taken. The statement, hey, what's up? How are you? That could be taken dirty. I know that it's gotten that far. But you have to think about it that way. You have to be in that mindset. You have to be ready for it. Well, it seems like, at times to me, it seemed like Bill Belichick, maybe Tom Brady, like I had that notion that almost they got together and the Patriots are like, you know, this is a crock of garbage. You know, this is so stupid. Let's make a joke out of it. Let's make a mockery out of it. Let's go in front of the NFL. Let's go in front of the media and let's just say balls and touching them and texture and rubbing them. And I don't want anybody fondling them and rubbing them real hard. And, you know, I don't want them to be greasy. And I don't like old balls. I like new balls. Or some people like old balls. There's a lot of different things that were said that you almost think, was this a joke? Are they really not taking this seriously? They're just coming out and making fun of it. That's been a notion in my head. Nothing that's come out. Nothing that I'm like giving you an exclusive saying. I know that, you know, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady before were like, hey, let's see how many times we could say balls before it starts getting weird. Yeah, you know, I don't have any proof to any of that. I just find it funny that some of these things have been said, like what you just heard in the intro, but Bill Belichick's talking about the texture. And what you'll hear coming up here in Heads Underwater, proudly presented by Boreo's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Phone number 315-699-2249. That is the number that you need to write down for getting one of those banquet rooms. For any event that you have going on. So many different events that are going on. I talk to people, they have ceremonies for their sports teams, they have things for classes, they have different events for their family. If they're doing a reunion, they're trying to find a place to get everybody together that do stock car races or something like that, you know, just car races. Whatever it may be, hobbies, fantasy football, people need to have banquet rooms. They want to go somewhere they can get good food, they can have a room to themselves so that the 10, 20, 30, 40, 60 of them can just hang out. My dad's office has the after Christmas party. My mom's office has the after Christmas party. So they need places too. So there's always events going on at Boreo's and things always get taken up. So 315-699-2249 is the number that you need to call to make sure that you get everything reserved for yourself so that you have everything set. Whenever your event could be a year from now, could be 6 months from now, could be 3 months from now, you need to call now. Make sure you get that reserved at Boreo's Restaurant. Proudly bringing you Heads Underwater. We're talking here today on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app on something that I understand some people think is stupid, right? When you sit down and you really think about it, we're having conversations about deflated balls. Deflate, and see, now I'm doing it. Now I'm taking after Belichick and Brady, talking about things that are could be taken as inappropriate, not trying to make it that way, but deflated footballs, right? That's what we're talking about. But it's deeper than that, right? We're talking about cheating. We're talking about making sure that there's fairness in sports. Why? Because I was reading an article that somebody else had written, and the article had to do with that. It had to do with fairness in sports. It had to do with if the NFL isn't investigating this, if they aren't doing things, if they're just letting the Patriots say, oh, okay, well, you guys did it, and you checked it out, and you didn't find anything, cool. You're saying that you didn't talk to scientists, or you did talk to scientists, you're not confirming any of that, but you're being the scientist, that's okay, we trust you, shut the door, because, and this is what the article was saying, every win and every loss is going to need to be investigated. It's all going to have an asterisk. We're going to be trying to figure out what was fair play, because you need to have fair play. And there's some things that Bill Belichick says in the upcoming comments you're going to hear here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora that are not fair play, that are not we're 32 equal teams, that are not, hey, you can't bend the rules a little bit if they work in your favor, you know what I'm saying, because other people are doing it. Those are my concerns. Because Bill Belichick, we've known he's been arrogant. We've known he's been abrasive. We've known that he's been argumentative, or he's been letting his anger out, his emotion out. He does it here. You'll hear it. But when it comes to fairness in the NFL, no offense to Bill Belichick, I don't care who you are. Okay? If I'm the commissioner of the NFL, I want everybody to follow the rules, okay? I'm not talking about bogus rules, ridiculous rules. I'm not talking about you can't celebrate in the end zone if you want to just dance for 10 seconds. That to me is garbage. Celebrate. Have fun. Have a party. Don't flip anybody off. Don't make any sexually suggestive signs. Don't be disrespectful. Don't spit on anybody. Don't do anything that's like anti-religion and all that stuff. But go into the end zone. Do a little salsa dance. Do the bomb where you throw it up in the air and everybody falls backwards. Dance with your teammates. Jump on somebody's head. I don't care. Spike the football. Have fun with it. Not talking about those rules. I'm talking about the rules of fair play. I'm talking about what's right and what's wrong. If something gives you a competitive advantage, I just held the football on the show. I just held the football here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satoro while I was talking with you. It provided me an unfair advantage that my ball was just deflated a little bit. The football I was holding on to was deflated a little bit. Not on purpose, not because I did it. I haven't used the football in a little bit. It's in a cold area, so it lost a little bit of air. Not a ton, but a little bit. But it provided an unfair advantage for me because I was able to grip it easier. Now, I'm not squeezing it, as Brady said. I'm gripping it. Well, guess what, Brady? I was gripping it, and it was gripping easier for me. And it was helping me hold on to it easier, which is an unfair advantage. Filming the sideline and the plays of another team is a definite unfair advantage. If I know the plays that you're going to run, then I know how to beat you.
Well, everybody else is doing it.
I don't care. I had a best friend that asked me to cheat, right? Asked me to cheat on a test. Love my best friend, right? At the time, loved him. Like family. But I'm not going to cheat. And I said no. And in that moment, I was like, I could lose a friend right now, but no friend would ask me to cheat. I had somebody in college, took a class online. He said, I'll give you money. I'll give you $200 right now. If you go into the class, they don't know my face from your face. You go into the class because you know how to take this class. You do well in this class. It's something that you understand. I struggle with it. You go in the class for me. Pretend you're me. Write my name on the paper. You take my test because you'll get a better grade than I will, and I need to pass it, and I'll give you $200 right now. You know what I told that person? No. You want to know the only thing I thought about after they asked me? I didn't think, should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? I didn't think $200 is a good amount of money. I didn't think I could probably pull this off. You know what I thought of? I can't believe that he would put me in this situation. I can't believe that he would put me in this place to have to talk to someone and have a very uncomfortable, awkward conversation about something that they started that I didn't even start. They put me in an awkward, uncomfortable situation. Now I have to take myself out of something that I didn't want to be in the first place that I didn't even know existed. That's what I thought about. It's the only thing I thought about. How dare he put me in the situation to have to spend 2 hours sitting figuring out how do I tell him no but still salvage our friendship and get him to understand my morals and values are more important than him passing a test, even though I care about him and want him to pass a test. Fair play. Fair play. That's what I'm concerned with. I don't care if Bill Belichick gets pissed off because he's got to answer questions. Is the NFL asking him to stop practice so he can do a press conference? I don't think so. Are they telling him that he's not going to have the same amount of time as the Seattle Seahawks because he has to talk about this? I don't think so. So quit your you-know-what. Go up there and talk. If the balls weren't deflated, it wouldn't be a problem. Now, if there were two balls deflated, and no one has ever complained about this before with the Patriots, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care. But when 11 of 12 are deflated, you know what I think in my head? Someone forgot the 12th one, or they almost got caught and said, oh, crap, and just threw, and just thought, oh, my gosh, I can't, and just threw number 12 in the bag. You know, when you're kind of doing what you got to do, and then you hear a, right? Throw the football in there. That's what that makes me think of. 11 of 12. It's very hard to get 11 of 12 wrong. Maybe 1 of 12. Maybe 11 right, 1 wrong. That makes more sense if you flip it. But 11 of 12 seems like something done on purpose, right? But we don't know who did it. We don't know if they did it on purpose or how they did it, whatever. But we know that the Colts footballs are not coming into question. So, fair play. Fair play. That's the one thing that upsets me about Bill Belichick. It upsets me. Right? Why do you have an attitude? Yes, it's footballs. I know there's some Patriots fans out there that are diehard fans. You know what they're saying? Dan, why the heck are you talking about this? Do you have anything better to do with your life? Talk about balls. You probably want to talk about balls. Hey, but, and then it starts getting personal, right? Because people get upset when you talk about their team, right? I understand that. I get that. When I talk about Detroit, Dallas, and Green Bay, Dallas, I was saying what I believed was fair, what I believe was fair play, what I believe was right, what I believe really was the case, what I thought affected things, what I thought didn't. And that just so happened to parallel. It wasn't me defending the Cowboys. It was me defending the situation, which happened to be the Cowboys. And then in the other situation, happened to be the Cowboys. Not because I wanted it to be the Cowboys. Could have been the Packers. Could have been the Lions. I respect all the teams. But once it looked like I had lined up with the Cowboys, Detroit fans, Green Bay fans, and people that hate Dallas in general came at me. Right? So I know there's Patriots fans out there that are really upset. Ah, shut up. What do you got to talk about this for? I understand. I understand that. I know Patriots fans. And I've had conversations with fans of the Patriots and people that don't like the Patriots. And we've all talked impartially. We've all gone beyond that. We went beyond the team. Now, I'm not here to talk about deflated balls and, oh, what, like, you got nothing better to do. I think the Patriots are a phenomenal team. They obviously are one of the best teams under Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, that's ever played in the NFL. That's safe to say. That is safe to say, one of the best teams ever in the history of it. Tom Brady, 6 Super Bowls, going to 6 Super Bowls, that's crazy. Multiple champion. It's amazing. Bill Belichick, after everything he's been through, ups and downs in his career, being with the Cleveland Browns at one point, and then putting together what he's put together in New England, amazing. But I don't care how good of a coach you are. I don't care how good of a player you are. If there's going to be a situation about fair play, I'm going to call you out on my show. Why? Because I want fair play. Some people think I'm crazy that I want fairness in sports because they say you'll never get it. So they tell me, Dan, you're never going to get fair play. So why are you talking about it? Why do you care? Why are you wasting your energy? Because you know what? If people didn't stand up for the rights of African Americans, they'd still be slaves. If people didn't say that women should be able to make the same amount of money as men, they should be able to be bosses, and they should be able to work anywhere a man works, then women would be at home making dinner, never being able to work, getting treated disrespectfully like they don't matter. Right? And if people didn't put any child labor laws out, there'd be children being abused all over the world, even more so than they are now. So, just because something is, just because it isn't fair, and you don't think it's ever going to be fair, if people like me don't stand up for it, it doesn't change. It doesn't change. Now, I'm not sitting here saying I'm Harriet Tubman and I'm Martin Luther King and I'm this, that, and the other thing. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that I look to them and what they've done more than I look to a pissed off coach that doesn't want to spend 10 minutes talking about a subject that's not important to him. That I don't care about. I want fairness. Give me fairness. You're not going to give me fairness? Guess what? If I'm a commissioner and you're not going to play fair, you're out of my league. I don't care. I don't care who you are. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. You hit your wife? You're not playing here anymore. Well, you can't do that, Dan. Yes, I can. Because I own my own company. If I have an employee in Dan's Tora Broadcast Media that punched his wife in the face, him and I would be done. There's no more after that. Congratulations, we're done. Because that's not acceptable. Somebody comes in and works for me and I find out he's beating his child at home or she's beating her child at home. I have a woman work for me, right? And she's my receptionist. And I find out she goes home and she beats her son because she's mad that her husband left her. She's not working for me anymore. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no conversation. Goodbye. I'm not going to employ you. I'm not going to help you continue on this process. Maybe I'll make a phone call for your child. Maybe I'll make a phone call for the wife that got hit. Right? But I am not. And I say maybe, not like, well, maybe I want to help, maybe I don't. It's just finding your place in there. If you're the boss, how do you find your place in there? But I'm not keeping you on my staff. You're not working with me anymore. I want fairness. I want people to be treated as equals. That's what I want. So a deflated ball, it goes in the same realm as any type of cheating to me. If you cheat, you don't play. Guess what? If the Patriots are found cheating, they're not in the Super Bowl. I know that's causing upheaval. I know that would make people go crazy. I know people would probably be burning pieces of the White House. I know there'd be riots. So for that reason, I'm like, okay, they'll never do it. They'll never do it. But it's not the Patriots. Don't get it twisted. I'm saying this here on my show. So if you're going to make a comment on Twitter, Facebook, wherever, going to make a comment somewhere on some message board, write it on wakeupcalldt.com, whatever you're going to do, hear me out right now. Because if you're going to make a comment, you need to quote that I said this, and then the comment is void. I don't care that it's the Patriots. I don't. I don't care. It could be the Patriots, the Packers, the Ravens, the Browns, the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Rams. Doesn't matter. Any team. Any one of the 32 teams. You cheat? You do something unfair? You're not playing in my Super Bowl. Get out of here. You're not playing in my Super Bowl. You're garbage. You got to cheat? You're not playing in my Super Bowl. What happens when you cheat on a test, right? Some of you sitting here right now, Dan, I got away with it. I got 95. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. Make you feel good about yourself? You didn't learn anything that day. What happens when you cheat in math class and you got to figure out math right now? What happens when you have children that ask you, Daddy, can you help me with my math homework? And you can't because you cheated the whole way through. You don't know anything. To make you feel good? Make you feel tough? Make you feel smart? Make you feel like you earned that degree? No. It's going to come back. Karma always comes back. Always comes back. That's why you don't spin to the wind. You do good things. So when it spins back around, it might take longer than you want it to, but whatever comes back to you is good. God bless. You cheat on a test, you get a zero, incomplete. That's what happens. So you cheat. I don't care if it's the Super Bowl. You're not playing. Why are you going to play? Why am I going to let you play? Seattle won fair and square. As far as I know, they won fair and square, right? They didn't cheat. Nothing. Now, if they came out and they cheated too, then I guess I got nobody in my Super Bowl. I guess I got to figure it out. I guess, do I take Green Bay and Indianapolis? Do I do that? Do I let those teams play? I don't care if it's never been done before. I don't care if it doesn't make sense. I'm just telling you my opinion, my thoughts, justifying it and being respectful. Which is all that I ask of you. I know the fanatics that it is very hard to ask you to be respectful, but you need to be, or else no one will ever want to talk to you, and you will be alone. And maybe that's why you're fanatics in the first place, because you are alone, because you pushed everybody away because of the way you talk to people. Fans, I'll talk to you all day long. Because I know you care, and I know you got a head on your shoulders, and I know that you're logical and rational, and you make sense. And I know that you're not trying to talk about people's mothers and wishing for people to die in an argument about a deflated ball. I understand that, and I respect that, and I appreciate you for that. So, when we look at this situation, we got to figure this out, right? What's best to do? What is the best thing to do? Think about it right now. Just figure it out. What do you think is the best thing to do? You just let them to play, sweep it under the rug, right? Now, again, I'm not saying that they cheated. I'm not saying that this is like an airtight thing and you just figure it out in 5 seconds, right? But the NFL, I don't want them to investigate this thing after the Super Bowl, find out that the Patriots cheated, because guess what? If the Patriots won, you're going to take it away from them? I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like when USC plays in a football game, then you take all their wins away. I don't like when Joe Paterno and the Jerry Sandusky and all this stuff happens, Joe Paterno passes away, you take his wins away from him, then you restore the wins, he's already gone. It makes no sense. I mean, he could see it from wherever he is. God willing, he's up in heaven. You know, Joe Paterno, up in heaven with God, looking down on his loved ones, that's where I want him to be. And I'm saying that because Joe Paterno is a child of God. I don't know what decisions he made in his life or didn't make, but I hope that he made himself right with God and that he's in heaven. But I'm not a fan of taking things away after they happen, because guess what? The other team, think about if you were the other team. Did you ever interview the other team, talk to the other team? That's what I'm going to do in my career. I'm going to talk to the other team. When you find out that a team cheated and they have to forfeit the Super Bowl, talk to the other team, the team that lost. Because technically, that's their trophy, but they didn't earn the trophy, so they don't get the trophy. The trophy just disappears. But that team never had a fair game. So if this deflating thing was the Colts, and it, or was the Patriots, pardon me, and it was for a competitive advantage, then what do you say to the Colts?
You guys lost by a lot. You probably would have lost anyways. Is that what you say?
Is that how you handle the situation?
I don't think so.
So we got to figure it out. We have to figure it out. Well, Bill Belichick is talking about his attempt to figure it out, and we're going to listen into that right now here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop in the free Wake Up Call DT app, in a special segment presented only by Boreo's Restaurant and only right here. ...8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York is Boreo's, and Heads Underwater is our segment as we move on to the next piece of the conversation from Bill Belichick, the head coach of the New England Patriots.
The texture of the balls is very easy to identify. The pressure of the balls, footballs, is a whole different story. It's much more difficult to feel or identify. So the focus of our pregame preparation for the footballs is based on texture and feel. And I think Tom went into that extensively on Thursday, and he obviously could go through it a lot better than I can because he's the one that touched them. But that's the heart of the process.
So Bill Belichick talking about the difference between texture and pressure, how a ball feels as opposed to pressure, how much is in it. How much of that air is in it, really? How it feels compared to what's in it. You can feel the texture, you can describe the texture, but what Bill Belichick kind of got into in this, and we'll listen to it coming up, is that he doesn't necessarily believe that a quarterback can tell what the pressure is, but they can tell what the texture is. They can get a feel for the texture of it. That coming from Bill Belichick, describing the difference between the two. And we're going to look more into that right now. As he says later on, he's not a scientist, but trying to give a little bit of a scientific background.
We simulated a game day situation in terms of the preparation of the footballs and where the footballs were at various points in time during the day or night, as the case was Sunday. And I would say that our preparation process for the footballs is what we do. All right, I can't speak for anybody else. It's what we do, and that process we have found raises the PSI approximately 1 pound. So that process of creating a tackiness, a texture, the right feel, whatever that feel is, it's just a, you know, it's a sensation for the quarterback. What's the right feel? That process elevates the PSI approximately 1 pound based on what our study showed, which was multiple balls, multiple examples in the process, as we would do for a game. It's not one football.
Now Bill Belichick going into testing a bunch of different footballs, not just one, he said, but testing a bunch of them, going through this process, raising it 1 PSI is what he saw was happening with the footballs, going through their process to get the right texture, what's called tackiness, what really feels good to a quarterback, in this case Tom Brady, the quarterback in the New England Patriots. So this is Bill Belichick saying that they're going through this process. They don't describe exactly what they do to get it to this point, to get the tackiness or the texture, but he said it does raise it 1 PSI, and we test a bunch of different footballs to see in this situation if we can get them to where the quarterback likes him. So he's describing kind of the background of this, which you have to do with any experiment. I learned this in elementary school, that you have to describe exactly what you're doing, this controlled environment. What are you doing? What is the control? What is the basis of this? Because you're trying to figure out how something happens to create a hypothesis, so you have to have that base, and that's what Belichick is describing here.
When the balls are delivered to the officials' locker room, the officials were asked to inflate them to 12.5 PSI. What exactly they did, I don't know, but for the purposes of our study, that's what we did. We set them at 12.5. That's at the discretion of the official, though. Regardless of what we ask for, it's the official's discretion to put them where he wants. Again, that's done in a controlled climate. The footballs are prepared in our locker room. They're delivered to the official's locker room, which is a controlled environment. It's whatever we have here is what we have there. When the footballs go out onto the field into game conditions, whatever those conditions are, whether it's hot and humid, whether it's cold and damp, whether it's cold and dry, whether it's whatever it is, that's where the footballs are played with, and that's where the measurements would be different than what they are, possibly different than what they are in a controlled environment. And that's what we found. We found that once the footballs were on the field over an extended period of time, in other words, they were adjusted to the climatic conditions, and also the fact that the balls reached an equilibrium without the rubbing process, that after that had, you know, run its course and the footballs had reached an equilibrium, that they were down approximately 1.5 pounds per square inch. When we brought the footballs back in after that process and retested them in a controlled environment as we have here, then those measurements rose approximately 1.5 pound per square inch. So the net of 1.5 back to 0.5 is approximately 1 pound per square inch to 1.5.
Describing the experiment that Bill Belichick did with the footballs, he's claiming of getting the footballs ready, putting him at 12.5, which is what Tom Brady said that he liked, as you heard before here on Heads Underwater, presented by Boreo's Restaurant from Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, exclusively here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora's Heads Underwater. On WakeUpCallDT.com and the free WakeUpCallDT app, you heard Tom Brady say he likes it at 12.5, which is the minimum. That is the lowest point that the footballs can come into a game with and be inspected and certified good to go. 12.5 is where Bill Belichick said they were in a control room, they do them in the locker room, they get them all ready, they bring them to the officials' locker room, same type of environment, he was describing similarities. Then they went out onto the field, you leave them out onto the field, they reached an equilibrium point, which is where, from what I'm taking from Bill Belichick, it's when there's no more air coming out, it just reaches a point of stationary living, so to speak. So it reaches that equator, that equilibrium where it's just done. So you put the air in the football, and then the football has the air, and then maybe the football gives up a little bit before the football stops and stays where it is. And when Bill Belichick was describing this, he said, listen, we're in a controlled room, we're inside. Football is at 12.5. We bring it outside, it goes down. We bring it in, it goes back up. So that's where we're seeing a difference. So he's talking about equilibrium, putting the ball outside, and some of the air coming out, as well as maybe something in the atmosphere and the environment changing that.
We all know that air pressure is a function of the atmospheric conditions. It's a function of that. So if there's activity in the ball relative to the rubbing process, I think that explains why when we gave them to the officials and the officials put it at, let's say, 12.5, if that's in fact what they did, that once the ball reached its equilibrium state, it probably was closer to 11.5. But that's, again, that's just our measurements. We can't speak specifically to what happened because we are not, have no way of touching the footballs other than once the officials have them, we don't touch them except for when we play with them in the game. But it's similar to the concept of when you get into your car and the light comes on and it says low tire pressure because the car's been sitting in the driveway outside overnight and you start it up and you start driving it and the light goes off. it's a similar concept to that. So the atmospheric conditions as well as the true equilibrium of the ball is critical to the measurement.
I feel like I'm sitting back right now in physics, earth science feel. You know, you're starting to get those equations, trying to figure it out. I say earth science because earth science was like the most difficult. It was the most difficult science I took. I took astronomy, and I did better in astronomy than earth science. It's crazy. Had a very interesting teacher for earth science, though. That's a story for another day. But he was an interesting gentleman. Nice guy. Very just eccentric. Eccentric man. But a fun person to be around. Definitely made class interesting. So you're going through this whole process with Bill Belichick, speaking about the rubbing process. You give it to him, you think it's at 12.5, then maybe it's at 11.5. But here's the thing. This is what I want to go back to. Kind of the no control situation that Bill Belichick seems to be describing. This no control, that the team has no control. Now, your team is the team that inflates the balls. When your team inflates the balls, you have to present them to the officials. And he's saying, hey, the officials took them and they liked them, so, you know, good to go at their own discretion. That doesn't mean that they were 12.5 or 13 or 11. It doesn't mean that they were right. Maybe the officials didn't care. Think about it this way. What if officials got paid off? What if officials didn't have time to check? What if the officials checked, but their gauge wasn't working? What if the officials, what if one of them checked, you got one number, and one of them got the other number, and they didn't cross-check each other and verify? There's a lot of moving parts. It seems like, and this is the thing, nothing ever happens by accident. There's no coincidences in life. I'm confident in that. I know that that is the truth. There are no coincidences in life. None. There's just not. Everything has a purpose. So, with this deflation issue coming out with the Patriots at the spotlight, it's because there's an issue here. There's an issue with the checks and balances. Bill Belichick's saying, listen, we put the air in the balls, we give them to the refs, and never does he say we give them to them at the right pressure. And then never does he say that the refs have him at the right pressure, and that after that, you know, it's up to the refs and it's up to their discretion. So if it's softer and it helps us out, hey. And, you know, but again, I feel like if there was too much pressure, then teams would be saying something. So why, if it's under pressure, it's like, wow, this is not our fault. If it's underinflated, but if it's overinflated, you know there would be a problem. You know that they'd be able to feel it. You know it would be too tight of a ball, it's not what I like. I like, you know, to have some give to the football. I mean, I can't imagine a quarterback that knows that he likes 12.5 on the dot wouldn't feel a difference and wouldn't say something about a football being above 12.5. So why shouldn't your opponent say something about it being below 12.5? So this whole situation, Bill Belichick's still not given the proper checks and balances or some type of feeling that, hey, we know that it's going to be okay in games in the future. But again, nothing happens by coincidence. This is being brought to light because the process seems flawed.
At no time were any of our footballs prepared anywhere other than in the locker room or in an area very close to that. Never in a heated room or heated condition. That has absolutely never taken place to anyone's knowledge or anyone's recollection. And didn't happen.
The question of the heated room. Now, the heated room, obviously, this is something that comes out that could provide potentially an unfair advantage. But again, if you're preparing the footballs and they have to go to the officials, whether you're in a heated room or not, when they get to the officials, whatever you're doing on your side, the officials need to check this. So Bill Belichick saying, hey, it's not in a heated room because this could potentially provide an advantage or else he wouldn't bring it up. So I'm not the genius scientist on football pressure and all that either.
So I'm learning as you learn, as Bill Belichick learns. We're all learning about a situation that's really never been taught. I've never talked about it in the 10-plus years I've been on the radio. I've never had this conversation once. Never had this conversation with the countless former NFL players, current NFL players, college players, former coaches, current coaches, everyone that I've talked to. I've never, and in covering the NFL for over half a decade right now, I've never been in a situation where I've ever had the conversation. When I say over half a decade, the teams that I've literally been around from year to year, I've never had the conversation face-to-face. And then in over a decade of talking about the NFL, I've never talked about this before. So this is new to me, new to all of us. It's a new situation. And not a new situation game-wise, but a new topic to discuss, because obviously there's a problem here. And in this situation, the heated room would be helpful, but again, the ball has to go to the officials. The footballs have to go to the officials. So somewhere in here, the officials have to be held accountable. If the Patriots are found guilty, then the officials have to be guilty, because there is at least that check and balance. There seems like there is not enough checks and balances, or people necessarily telling the truth. But you get the balls ready, you get all the footballs ready, and you bring them to the officials have to check them. It's up to the officials to do that, because the officials, above all, have to provide fair play. That's what an official is. That's why they're there. If there were no officials, it would be a free-for-all. There'd be no fair play. So, which I know some people would like, but that's not safe, nor is it good for anybody. So the officials have to be held accountable, too, if there's an issue here. That is something that I definitely agree with.
When you measure a football, there are a number of different issues that come up. Number one, gauges. There are multiple types of gauges, and the accuracy of one gauge relative to another there's variance there. We're talking about air pressure, all right? So there's some variance there. Clearly, all footballs are different. So footballs that come out of a similar pack, a similar box, a similar preparation, each ball has its own unique individual characteristics because it's not a man-made piece of equipment. It's a animal skin, it's a bladder, it's stitching, it's laces, and each one has its own unique characteristics. So whatever you do with that football, if you do the same thing with another one, it might be close, but there's a variance between each individual football. Footballs do not get measured during the game. We have no way of knowing, until we went through this exercise, that this has really taken place. So when we hand the balls to the officials put them at whatever they put them at, but let's just say it's 12 and a half. That's where they put them. Then the air pressure at that point, from then on until the end of the game, we have no knowledge of. And honestly, it's never been a concern. So what is a concern is the texture of the ball, footballs. And again, that's the point that Tom hit on hard on Thursday.
First thing I want to talk about coming off of this, Heads Underwater, presented by Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Phone number is 315-699-2249 to book your banquet room today for your special event, as well as call about any questions that you have. So 699-2249, 315 area code, Heads Underwater, Borio's Restaurant. Only here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app. Taking a look at the last comments from Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots. Not every football is the same. Even the ones that come in the same packaging are a little bit different because they're not man-made. Well, this is a statement that confused me. If something's man-made, then they have a better chance of not being the same. Think about it this way on how a football
putting together different parts. Think about it this way. You ever been to a craft fair? If you haven't been to a craft fair, you know somebody who has. Apple Festival, anything like that, where there's vendors that make different things themselves by hand. When they make pillows, and they make the pillows out of the fabric that has the NFL teams on it. Let's use that as an example. So you make a pillow, and you put the fabric, right? Get the fabric together of the team. Well, let's say you make 10 pillows of the Denver Broncos, right? You try to make them all look the same, but the helmet is not going to be in the same place on every single pillow. It's going to be a little bit off. Some of the, you know what I mean? Some of the pillows, it's cut off a little bit. Did you ever buy a football? Did you ever buy one of the footballs that has, it's a football like stuffed animal, right? It's stuffed, and it's stuffed, and around it is the fabric, right? So there's a Houston Texans football, and where the stitching is for each football, one of them cuts off the word Texans. It just says Tex. The other one says Texa. The other one says Texans. So you go through it. You know, that's what I used to do at craft fairs. When I get the football, I'd look for the footballs that, however they were made with the fabric, I look for the ones out of the three or four that they had that had the most logos on it, that didn't cut off half the helmet. That's what I looked for. So if something's man-made, if a football's man-made, then yeah, they're not going to ever be the same because it's man-made. And you can't make anything perfectly the same man-made. And that's my example of having the fabric footballs or the pillows that you get at a craft fair that are stitched together. They're not all going to be the same. Some of them are going to have five helmets that you can see. One will have 4.5. One will have 3 because of the way that the fabric was cut and where it was stitched. So think about that. That's man-made. So it makes sense. Bill Belichick's argument makes sense backwards. He says they're not man-made, so they don't. None of them are completely the same. Well, if they were man-made, then that argument would hold up that they're not completely the same. But if they're factory-made and they're assembled by a machine, that's a better chance of being exactly the same than having it made by a human being's hands. Think about that. If we all made cars by hands, by our own hands, they're not going to look the same. You make Honda CRVs, right? And I make them by hand, and you make them by hand. Ours are not going to look exactly the same. And my first one and my second one might not look exactly the same. But when I have an assembly line at a factory with robots that are supposed to put them all together, isn't it crazy how all the Honda CRVs that come out for the year 2014 all look the same? So that was a contradictory statement that Bill Belichick made that really kind of threw me off from what you just heard. Here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora in the special Heads Underwater segment, focusing on the New England Patriots and all the issues going on with them and deflated footballs and everything that this has brought about. And the questions have arose in the NFL since then. And I thank ESPN and NFL Network for the audio provided to listen in to Bill Belichick's press conference as well as Tom Brady's press conference. So that really threw me off, the whole man-made. That doesn't make any sense to me. And then when you go from there to try and figure it out, to say, hey, we can't get them the same. Well, how did 11 of 12, how are they underinflated? If they're all different and it's hard to get them all the same, then maybe it would make sense if 3 of them were underinflated, 3 of them were overinflated, so that makes your 6. And you have 12, so then the other 6 are just right. But 11 of 12 are underinflated. That seems to level on the side of that's kind of a purposeful thing, or they are put together that way. If you can make 11 of 12 underinflated, then you can make 11 of 12 overinflated, and it stands to reason you can make 11 of 12 perfect. Does it not? Let's continue on here with Bill Belichick's comments.
We had our quarterbacks look at a number of footballs, and they were unable to differentiate a 1 pound per square inch difference in those footballs. They were unable to do it. On a 2 pound differential, there was some degree of differentiation, but certainly not a consistent one. A couple ones they could pick out, but they were also wrong in some of the other ones that they had. So you're welcome to do that yourself. But, and I can tell you from all the footballs that I've handled over the last week, I can't tell the difference if there's a 1 pound difference or half a pound difference in any of the footballs.
First thing I want to talk about coming off of this, Heads Underwater, presented by Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Phone number is 315-699-2249 to book your banquet room today for your special event, as well as call about any questions that you have. So 699-2249, 315 area code, Heads Underwater, Borio's Restaurant. Only here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app. Taking a look at the last comments from Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots. Not every football is the same. Even the ones that come in the same packaging are a little bit different because they're not man-made. Well, this is a statement that confused me. If something's man-made, then they have a better chance of not being the same. Think about it this way on how a football, putting together different parts, think about it this way. You ever been to a craft fair? If you haven't been to a craft fair, you know somebody who has. Apple Festival, anything like that, where there's vendors that make different things themselves by hand when they make pillows, and they make the pillows out of the fabric that has the NFL teams on it. Let's use that as an example. So you make a pillow, and you put the fabric, right, get the fabric together of the team. Well, let's say you make 10 pillows of the Denver Broncos, right? You try to make them all look the same, but the helmet is not going to be in the same place on every single pillow. It's going to be a little bit off. Some of the, you know what I mean? Some of the pillows, it's cut off a little bit. Did you ever buy a football? Did you ever buy one of the footballs that has, it's a football like stuffed animal, right? It's stuffed, and you know, it's stuffed, and around it is the fabric, right? So there's a Houston Texans football, and where the stitching is for each football, one of them cuts off the word Texans. It just says Tex. The other one says Texa. The other one says Texans. So you go through it. You know, that's what I used to do at craft fairs. When I get the football, I look for the footballs that, however they were made with the fabric, I look for the ones out of the three or four that they had that had the most logos on it, that didn't cut off half the helmet. That's what I looked for. So if something's man-made, if a football is man-made, then yeah, they're not going to ever be the same because it's man-made. And you can't make anything perfectly the same man-made. And that's my example of having the fabric footballs or the pillows that you get at a craft fair that are stitched together. They're not all going to be the same. Some of them are going to have five helmets that you can see. One will have four and a half. One will have three because of the way that the fabric was cut and where it was stitched. So think about that. That's man-made. So it makes sense. Bill Belichick's argument makes sense backwards. He says they're not man-made, so they don't. None of them are completely the same. Well, if they were man-made, then that argument would hold up, that they're not completely the same. But if they're factory-made and they're assembled by a machine, that's a better chance of being exactly the same than having it made by a human being's hands. Think about that. If we all made cars by hands, by our own hands, they're not going to look the same. You make Honda CR-Vs, right? And I make them by hand, and you make them by hand. They're not, ours are not going to look exactly the same. And my first one and my second one might not look exactly the same. But when I have an assembly line at a factory with robots that are supposed to put them all together, isn't it crazy how all the Honda CR-Vs that come out for the year 2014 all look the same? So that was a contradictory statement that Bill Belichick made that really kind of threw me off from what you just heard. Here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora in the special Heads Underwater segment, focusing on the New England Patriots and all the issues going on with them and deflated footballs and everything that this has brought about. And the questions have arose in the NFL since then. And I thank ESPN and NFL Network for the audio provided to listen in to Bill Belichick's press conference as well as Tom Brady's press conference. So that really threw me off, the whole man-made. That doesn't make any sense to me. And then when you go from there to try and figure it out to say, hey, we can't get them the same. Well, how did 11 of 12, how are they underinflated? If they're all different and it's hard to get them all the same, then maybe it would make sense if three of them were underinflated, three of them were overinflated, so that makes your six, and you have 12, so then the other six are just right. But 11 of 12 are underinflated. That seems to level on the side of
that's kind of a purposeful thing, or they are put together that way. If you can make 11 of 12 underinflated, then you can make 11 of 12 overinflated, and it stands to reason you can make 11 of 12 perfect. Does it not? Let's continue on here with Bill Belichick's comments.
Again, anyone who has seen us practice knows that we make it harder, not easier, to handle the ball. And our players train in conditions that a lot of people would recommend that we not drive in. That's what they do. They're a physically and mentally tough team that works hard, that trains hard, that prepares hard, and have met every challenge that I put in front of them. And I know that because I work them every day. This team was the best team in the AFC in the regular season. We won two games in the playoffs against two good football teams. Best team in the postseason. And that's what this team is. And I know that because I've been with them every day. And I'm proud of this team.
This coming from the second press conference, as you're listening in here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com and the free Wake Up Call DT app. Two audio provided by ESPN, as well as NFL Network's coverage and all that covered the press conference. Bill Belichick, his second one, second time around, he's echoing the first one, saying, listen, we practice in really tough conditions. We don't make it easy. We don't want the football to be easy to grip for our team. So this is another way, I think, of it's not a plea, but to me it's a way of reiterating to the NFL, hey, why would we take the air out of the balls when we make it so difficult for our team to play with? Why would we do this when they know how to play in tough conditions, when they're so gritty, when they're such a good football team? Why would we want to give them an advantage when they can win no matter what? That's what I'm taking away from Bill Belichick in that statement.
I'm embarrassed to talk about the amount of time that I've put into this relative to the other important challenge in front of us.
I'm not embarrassed in the amount of time that Bill Belichick put into this. It's an issue. It's something that is important. It provides a competitive advantage because if you deflate a ball a little bit, it's easier to grip. If it's easier to grip, it's easier for a quarterback to hold on to, especially in wet conditions like the Patriots had against the Colts in their game. At the same time, it's easier to grip for a running back. LeGarrette Blount had probably potentially the best game of his career, almost 150 yards rushing on the ground, multiple touchdowns. So this is something that is an issue. I'm not embarrassed. If Bill Belichick is embarrassed, too bad. I think he's annoyed that he has to go through this, but you have to go through it. That's just something that you have to do. And if it was any other team and any other coach was annoyed, I don't care. Do it. It's an issue. It provides a competitive advantage. If it provides a competitive advantage, it takes away the fairness of the game. If it takes away the fairness of the game, then everything in the game has to have an asterisk. And if everything in the game has to have an asterisk, then the entire game is fantasy football. We're playing fantasy football with fantasy football, and there's no real football going on. That, to me, is ridiculous. It's too far. And guess what, Mr. Belichick? Whether you cheated or you didn't cheat, I don't care if you're embarrassed. You need to do this. You're the head coach. Everything falls on your shoulders. That's not always fair. That's not always right. But in this case, you are the front person for this. You're the face of the franchise in handling this issue. So handle the issue. If it takes you 48 hours, if it takes you 1,000 hours, if it takes you 3 minutes, find time in your schedule and figure it out. Just do it. Because 11 of 12 footballs is very difficult to just let go over your head. So this is where I draw the line and say, I don't know if you're guilty or not, but quit your complaining and take your time and do what you need to do. You're embarrassed that you spent time on this? That's not the right word for it. When you're embarrassed, are you embarrassed at your lack of intelligence for the issue? Is that what you're saying? Because I can understand that. Are you embarrassed that you've been around for multiple decades, but you don't know what goes on in the football world, or that this could be an issue? Is that an embarrassment to you? Okay, that's understandable. But you know what?
It's not something you think about. I never thought about it in 29 years of my life until now. So am I supposed to be embarrassed? Do your job. Figure out the issue. And it is important. It is important. Because if this was the Colts, I would think that Bill Belichick would want them investigated too. We continue on here, Heads Underwater, happening right here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com and the Wake Up Call DT free app exclusively right here where sports meets life as we continue on with Bill Belichick speaking on everything that's been going on in his second go at it behind the podium.
I'm not a scientist. I'm not an expert in footballs. I'm not an expert in football measurements. I'm just telling you what I know. Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world, as she was in the car expertise area.
Bill Belichick wants you to believe that he's figured it out. He's pissed off that he has to talk about it. He's embarrassed that he's talked about it. But then he reminds you he's not a scientist, so don't quote him on it. He's told you to do it at home yourself and figure it out. So, again, conflicting statements. He comes out, he says everything, start to feel that force as the press conference goes on, that he's done with this, he's sick of this, this is ridiculous. And now he tells you, I'm not a scientist, so I'm telling you all these scientific things, but maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. This is not my expertise. Just like a scientist doesn't know how to coach my Patriots, I don't know everything about the football. Mona Lisa Vito didn't know anything about cars. So, and maybe she did. Maybe she did. Who knows? Maybe she had a vision of the VW bug and what it was going to look like now. Maybe she had that Nostradamus moment. Who knows? But Bill Belichick being a little bit counterproductive here, saying, here's all the stuff I figured out, but I'm not a scientist. So I told you all these scientific things, but I want to remind you I'm not a scientist. So that still leaves a margin of error, which he brought a giant highlighter to and highlighted everything. Probably not on purpose. I wouldn't think that he did that on purpose.
And at no time was there any intent whatsoever to try to compromise the integrity of the game or to gain an advantage. Quite the opposite. We feel like we followed the rules of the game to the letter in our preparations, in our procedures, all right, and in the way that we handled every game that we've competitively played in as it relates to this matter. All right, we try to do everything right. We err on the side of caution. It's been that way now for many years. Anything that's close, we stay as far away from the line as we can. And in this case, I can say that we are, as far as I know and everything that I can do, we did everything as right as we could do it. And we welcome the league's investigation into this matter. I think there are a number of things that need to be looked into on a number of levels, but that's not for this conversation. I'm sure it'll be taken up at another point in time. This is the end of this subject for me for a long time.
Bill Belichick stating, my team stays away from the line. We're not going to do things wrong. We did not mean any of this to happen. This is not a purposeful thing. So sticking up for the team again, which I understand. Definitely understand. You spied on another team in the past, though, so, and we'll hear that coming up. Somebody does ask that question. If you stay away from the line, then why did you cross it before? That's the same thought that I had going through this. Same question that I would have asked in this situation, hearing Bill Belichick, a coach who's already cheated, saying, we don't break the rules in the NFL. That's interesting. The other thing that was interesting is the last thing that he just said before I came back on here, and that is him saying, I'm done with this subject. This is the last I'll speak on this subject for a long time. You don't get to decide that because you're not a scientist, you're not a league official, you're not all these things. Understand what you are. You're a head coach, right? You're one of 32 employees of the NFL.
So if Roger Goodell or any other league official wants you to talk about it, you need to talk about it. So you can say that you're done, and you can think that you're done, and that's all well and dandy, but until you own the NFL, you're not done until they say you're done. And you're not done until the investigation is over. And you will get asked about this again, so it's nice for Bill Belichick to say, I'm done with this, but until there's a satisfaction that I feel is fairness, I wouldn't be done if I'm the commissioner until I feel like everything is back to fair again and we're all on an even playing field. I'm going to keep going. So, Bill Belichick, you might be done, but you're not going to be done. It just started.
You would have to talk to the NFL about anything they did or didn't do. We could sit here and talk about some of this stuff for 2 hours, all right? You want to ask the league any questions about what they do or don't do, you should ask the league. I'm just telling you what I've learned and the study that we've done and the experience that I've had over the last few days in looking into this matter. That's all I can tell you. I'm not a scientist. And I'm not a league official.
In this situation, you don't know if the NFL has asked the Patriots to not talk about any conversations that they've had, but in this situation, Bill Belichick saying, listen, you need to talk to the NFL. You need to put it to the NFL. If you want to know why the NFL didn't do this and the NFL didn't do that, you have to go to them on this. We don't know exactly where the NFL stands on this. We don't know what has been talked about or how it's been handled. The way it looks is that the NFL hasn't handled things the right way in the past. So I wouldn't put this on Bill Belichick or the Patriots with him saying, you need to talk to the league, because in all honesty, there might be an agreement or something going on in the background where the league said, listen, you talk about your team and this and that, but you don't bring us up in it. Whatever it may be, I don't think you can hold this one against Bill Belichick, who I understand didn't want to answer questions before, doesn't truly give you a straight answer, does give an attitude in these situations, talking about everything that's happened with the deflated footballs. But I don't think the NFL one can be put on him, at least the way I see it right now, that the NFL could be saying, you know what, leave us out of these conversations. This is not our press conference to have right now.
I mean, look, that's a whole other discussion, but I'm just, the guy's giving signals out in front of 80,000 people, okay? So we filmed him taking signals out in front of 80,000 people, like there were a lot of other teams doing at that time, too, okay? But forget about that. If we were wrong, then we've been disciplined for that. 80,000 people saw it. Everybody sideline saw it. Everybody sees our guy in front of 80,000 people. I mean, there he is. So it was wrong. We were disciplined for it. That's it. We never did it again. We're never going to do it again. And anything else that's close, we're not going to do either.
In this situation, you don't know if the NFL has asked the Patriots to not talk about any conversations that they've had, but in this situation, Bill Belichick saying, listen, you need to talk to the NFL. You need to put it to the NFL. You need to, if you want to know why the NFL didn't do this and the NFL didn't do that, you have to go to them on this. We don't know exactly where the NFL stands on this. We don't know what has been talked about or how it's been handled. The way it looks is that the NFL hasn't handled things the right way in the past. So I wouldn't put this on Bill Belichick or the Patriots with him saying, you need to talk to the league, because in all honesty, there might be an agreement or something going on in the background where the league said, listen, you talk about your team and this and that, but you don't bring us up in it. Whatever it may be, I don't think you can hold this one against Bill Belichick, who I understand didn't want to answer questions before, doesn't truly give you a straight answer, does give an attitude in these situations, talking about everything that's happened with the deflated footballs. But I don't think the NFL one can be put on him, at least the way I see it right now, that the NFL could be saying, you know what, leave us out of these conversations. This is not our press conference to have right now.
We talk to a lot of people.
Bill Belichick says he's not a scientist. He gets asked the question, have you spoke to any scientists about this? Have you had any scientific people, you know, scientific background that were able to go through these tests with you and look at everything? Because you're not a scientist, but you're saying you went through all these experiments to prove something to us, to tell us that you know, and to have the intelligence behind it to say, you know, now that I know about it, we couldn't have done this, and we didn't do that, and I'm this and that and the other thing. But when you say that you're not a scientist and you're speaking about scientific matters, you say that you have people that have talked to you on the subject, but when you're literally asked the question, did you have a scientist talk to you, you say, we talked to a lot of people. Does that mean you asked Janitor Bud? Does that mean that you asked your wife to hold a football and what did she think about it? And then you asked your four-year-old to hold a football and asked them what they thought about it? Or maybe you went to the bar that somebody was three drinks in and you talked to them about the subject? Unless a scientist was involved, you're saying you have no scientific experience and you had no experience of the footballs before now in understanding all this, and that it's a scientific matter, but you're not answering if a scientist was involved with it. So basically, I could just throw out this argument because you're trying to protect your own butt, potentially, so this means nothing to me. I'm not a scientist, so go get one. You know what I did when I was trying to figure out if it was pass interference or not in the Detroit-Dallas game and if that really affected the end of the game and all those questions that I had an opinion on? You know who I went to? I went to an expert. I went to the Atlantic Coast Conference coordinator of officials, who was a back judge for years, someone who was an FBI agent before that, so he had to be critical with detail. Then he has experience as an official. Now he oversees all the officials in one of the most talented conferences in the country, in the Atlantic Coast Conference, not to take away from anyone else, and all the teams inside the conference, as well as Notre Dame playing games against the conference every single season, with everything that goes on there, and how he can't afford to get anything wrong with all the teams that are in there. So I went to an expert to talk about his expertise in an area that I am not an expert in. Yet Bill Belichick couldn't do that. Just like I can tell the difference when I grab a football, but Tom Brady can't. And when I squeeze a football and grip a football, it's the same thing, but to Tom Brady, they're different. So I'm not saying, again, that the Patriots cheated this time around. But I am very concerned with the statements they're making that are a lot easier to prove false than they are to prove true. And usually when that happens, somebody's hiding something or there's some type of issue in the background. That is Heads Underwater. And that's proudly brought to you by Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Phone number 315-699-2249. Make sure you call them and book your reservations for one of their banquet rooms as soon as possible. I know that we all have events going on all throughout the year. Make sure that you don't wait. Whenever your event is, if it's 8, 9, 10 months away, still call Borio's, 315-699-2249. Reserve today. Get your food ready. And this way you have an opportunity to change things up. And if things change as you get closer, you have this long period of time to work with. At least you have everything reserved. Let them know that Dan Tortora sent you. Borio's Restaurant, Heads Underwater. Patriots looking underwater to me. Bill Belichick says they're breathing fine. Tom Brady says they're breathing fine. I think they might be a little bit further under the water here. I think they might be in the deep end of the pool. And I'm a little bit concerned about some of the comments that have been made. There's been some funny things that have been said. There's been some sketchy things that have been said. And there's been some things that have been said that make sense. So we put it all together and try to figure out what the heck went on. I don't know if we're better off than we were in the beginning, but I'm wondering why the NFL is so mum on everything and why Roger Goodell and the league officials, as well as the NFLPA, haven't had their own press conferences, because that, to me, is shadier than anything else. Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Thank you for listening in. Truly appreciate it. Had some fun with you today. And this was my way of truly giving you my educated response, my educated thoughts, because I watched the press conferences, I heard about what's going on, I've talked to multiple people, and I brought it to you today. So thank you. I appreciate you for listening into the show. I hope that you learned something and that you took something away from this, and that you were able to form some of your opinions and your thoughts from this as we move forward, because they're important too. As long as you justify them and they're respectful, your opinions will always matter to me. Here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com and the free Wake Up Call DT app. Make sure to follow me on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT and on Twitter at CallDT, CallDT. As we continue on talking about footballs and everything else, we now move to another Super Bowl where there are fans that don't have a dog in the race right now that all of a sudden are going to become Seattle Seahawks fans, just as people became Giants fans when the whole issue of cheating came up with the Patriots way back when. There's going to be a lot of Seattle Seahawks fans in the stands and watching, as no matter what happens, this Super Bowl has inevitably been affected. You heard it here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, and I'll talk to you very soon. Keep up with everything on wakeupcalldt.com with your free site press pass, and make sure you download the Wake Up Call DT app on the Google Play Store by searching Wake Up Call DT. That's Wake Up Call DT, one word. And for all Apple products, go straight to the site wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile. That's wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile. Thank you so much to Borio's Restaurant and all my partners. We'll talk to you very soon here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports truly meets life.